You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Ange. Joining me as usual is BZ430.
What up?
We got Mr. Disrespect in the house.
Yeah, what's up? What's going on?
Very disrespectful.
From the No Disrespect podcast. You guys make sure you check him out.
And that was a lie.
And of course, FIFO 24/7.
Yes, sir.
And joining us, man, we got a full house. We got a packed house. Some of you guys may remember him from a video he was on, featured on years ago. I think we were talking before the show, 2013.
Wow.
The greatest diss track of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Brown is in the house.
They've been wanting Brown back.
Yeah,
they've been wanting Brown. They've been asking about Brown.
It's good to be back.
Yeah. And then
thanks for having me.
And some of you OGs. Day
Super
ones.
OGs.
Yep. May remember him from Old School versus New School.
Yep.
Did I get that right?
And Carter Four, I think.
Carter Four.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
I know, right?
What's going on, y'all?
What you get Alex. Carter Four?
I don't even remember, man. Carter Four? I don't know.
Oh.
I don't even remember. It's been a minute.
Yeah. So, we're about to get into these games, get into the, of course, the recap of the AFC NFC championship and the NBA, and I think maybe even some Hall of Fame in Major League Baseball I saw earlier today. So we'll see if we have time for that, man. But anyway, I think we always like to go in order. Isn't that right, B? So
yeah,
I guess
we normally go in order.
We'll start with Saints Chiefs. No, it's not Saints Chiefs, but Saints. Rams. All right. So much to unpack with this game. I guess start with your overall thoughts of the game. Go ahead, B. What did you think about this game? Because who did you pick first? Let's start there. Who did you pick? Who did
Rams,
you have winning
man,
this game?
My pick was perfect. Rams.
Yeah, his pick was
okay. I got the Rams too.
I got the Rams, man. I didn't think Gurley was gonna have the game that he had though. Like if you would have said Gurley rushed for this much without even like looking, I'd have been like, oh, the Rams lost.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they pulled it out and what's the coach name? The young guy,
Sean McVay.
Yeah, McVay. Yeah. He made some adjustments in that
the
second half,
son.
Man.
The good son. You already giving him a nickname, Kate?
He made some great adjustments in that second half, man. Like they really neutralized Kamara. Like Kamara. They really took him out of the game and made him a non-factor in that second half, which was big because you know Drew Brees always looked for him as his security blanket. They did a good job of cutting him off. Like I was like, wow. I mean, the defense of course stepped up big time and Goff played good in the second half. Like he balled out, man. Like, whatever, how they was looking in the first half, I'm like, oh, man, Saints about to blow these boys out because I'm like, they're at home.
Down 13-0.
Yeah, I'm like, they're at home. They about to just run. But shout out to the Rams, man, that coaching staff for making adjustments, man. When they made them adjustments, they took advantage of it, man.
Let's talk about the first adjustment, right? Like, right at the beginning of the game, Gurley ain't have it going. What'd he do? Come sit right here next to coach.
Yeah.
Come sit right here next to coach. And CJ Anderson went off.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
Like, that's great coaching, man.
That is great.
Knowing your personnel and knowing what you got to roll with.
You don't think he's hurt?
He might be.
And as a coach, you got to be like, look, you ain't got it.
Yep.
So let's roll with the with.
So
the,
either way, it was a good call.
Yeah, it was a good call. It was a great call. It was a great call from either the head coach or the coordinators or whoever. That was a great call for them to like let Gurley just sit out and he don't got it going. It's kind of like basketball. basketball. Like if basketball, and look, come sit next to me. You know, you ain't you don't got your rhythm right now. Like this dude got his rhythm.
Yep.
We're gonna roll with that. So hey, that was a good move on the coach, man. Like the adjustments is what impressed me about this game, like big time. On the road too.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
That was big, man. And it's amazing because both of the road teams won. Like that's crazy.
I would say this though, like this might be the best, at least in the last few years that I've watched, the best playoff series in a while. Like even this,
as far as like all the games,
like even the games leading like from wild card till now, like they've all been interesting. They've all had their own stories.
The stories were good.
Like they, yeah. I mean, they might have all been like competitive, but at least like leading up to the game, they were really interesting. And then even especially with this championship games, like with the Saints and the Rams, like you got like basically like the old and new version of each other, basically like Sean Payton and Sean McVay. I thought just overall the whole game, and I might be jumping the gun a little bit, but it looked, I mean, it was very controversial, but it was very exciting. And to be honest, even though it was controversial, I think the Rams, they won, regardless of how you may think they won, they still won the game.
Yeah, they won the game. But let's not overlook that call at the end, because that, come on now, that, like, come on.
It was the call. It was the obvious call. But, like, Sean Payton, he did the same thing that Andy, we going to get to with Andy Reid, but, like, they love passing the ball. They don't like to put it on the ground like that, especially when it makes you question their whole game clock management.
But you also got to look at the fact that you got the two biggest guys in football at the position of defensive tackle right up that middle, and they were wreaking havoc. Were they
all
not?
All types of havoc.
They was in the background or in the background, back in the backfield. Even though I think Sue had one or two sacks, right? Yep. But even when he wasn't getting people, because they can't double team both people.
You can't.
So Aaron Donald was getting the double teams and Sue was eating.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sue caused a lot of havoc. And I, as a coach, especially when I got Drew Brees like that, and I know Kumaro can also catch, I don't know if I'm really – where are we going to run to? Where are we running the ball, Nick?
Again, I'm not a professional head coach. You asking the wrong one. That's where everybody leaned on the experience, and like, what do they always say about Sean Payton? The reason why people went with the Saints. Oh, he's experienced. He's been there. He's done that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's one of he was at the time the Sean McVay of his era. Like, he was the innovative offensive coach. And it's like,
I think he's still.
Yeah, he still is.
No, I'm not saying he's not, but I'm just saying, where was that adjustment? Like, you got here by doing what? 50-50, running, passing. Like, you had Michael Thomas and you had the two backs. Like, y'all were the standard as far as how to have a balanced offense. And then you, especially leading to the end of the game where it's about clock management, y'all was up. Like, they gave up. Didn't they give up, like, a 13-point lead?
Yeah, they were leading.
So it's just like, so then how do you fumble that? Like, you talked about having two, obviously, defensive studs on the front line, but you still was up 13.
But you know what? That game turned when it was possession where the Saints had the ball. They were getting ready to march down the field. And Sue got, I think, two sacks on that drive and neutralized it. And then I think Aaron Donald got in there for one. And then at that point, that's when you started to see the Rams defense started to take control of the game and do what they were paid to do. And then at that point, they had to punt the ball away, and I can't remember exactly what point in the game it was, but all I know, it was enough to stop them from going down the field to give them a chance to score before half. And next thing you know, it's a 13-10 game at halftime. You know, so.
Yeah, momentum.
Yeah, it was. Who'd you have winning, bro?
No, I
speaking to the mic.
I thought that the Rams was going to win for two reasons. One, the Rams don't have a viable number two. And the number one that they do have, he's not really fast. I know that they do have the guy from Ohio State to take the top off of the backfield, but Sean Payton went into this game handicapped, even though he had the home field advantage, but not a viable tight end. And Michael Thomas, which Aqib Talib can take him away. And so it's only a matter of time before the game plan, they just start taking stuff away. And one thing that you all didn't mention was Wade Phillips. Remember what Wade Phillips did to Cam Newton in the Super Bowl 3 years ago, where he just made Cam look pretty pedestrian.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this, that Wade Phillips, I think that he's probably the second defensive coordinator behind Bill Belichick that I would want to quarterback my defense, and they just start taking stuff away. And it was just only a matter of time. It wasn't about I just say this. It wasn't about the little pass interference call. I just think that that game
1,000%
was tailor-made for the Rams to win, and they pulled it out.
And it's crazy because on that call, he could have picked that bad boy off.
Yep.
Like,
that's what everybody was saying.
He was like, because he timed the route perfect.
He wasn't paying attention to it, though.
He wasn't paying attention. Because if he paid attention, he could have been like,
I think in his mind, he was like, I have to stop him. I got to stop him regardless.
But he could have.
And the thing is, like, and that call, so if we're going to talk about the call, like, that call wasn't bang bang. It was actually two calls in one. He could have got it from helmet to helmet.
Let's get to the call in a second. Who did you have winning the game, Alex?
I had the Rams.
Yeah. All right. So.
Everybody went to the Rams. All right.
What's up?
I mean, the Saints won it. All right.
They just won.
They won in my reality.
Section 17.2 in the rule book. Is you Michael Thomas?
I'm just saying, like, how do you miss it? Like, I don't know how do you miss it, especially at that point
swallowing
in the game.
Swallowing the whistle, staying out of the game.
No. Whoa,
this basketball.
You can't do that.
They missed that call. I tell you, they missed that call because they had a bowl of gumbo. That DB, what'd he say? With Sean Payton.
Oh, yeah. Marcus Peters.
Marcus Peters. Yes.
They missed that call.
They was going to have some gumbo, so that's what the refs did, have gumbo.
That voodoo went against them.
Yeah, exactly.
That gumbo was code words for the refs got a little money on the table. They was like, if it come down to it, let it go. Because I don't see how you missed that. Like,
yeah,
that
call.
And, yeah, that, and if they get that call, that's a, you know, they run the ball, run the clock out, kick the field goal, you win the game. No overtime.
You know what? And you know, Brian, you mentioned it, and there were moments in that game where Peyton could have definitely won it. But
he's arrogant.
I'm hearing everybody say that play didn't cost them a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Yes, it did. Because if they call that play, we already know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
You know, granted, they got to make the field goal, but if that play is called correctly, they are going to
chip shot. The percentages are in your favor, right? Like, when we talking about a game of inches and clock management and field position and all of that, you're more in position to win the game. Mm-hmm. And the percentages to hit that type of field goal, because you're talking about it's a chip shot. That's even closer than an extra point now, right? Like you should make that, right? I would say if I'm a head coach, I'm looking at that with about an 85 to 95% certainty. To make that, you win the game. You go to the Super Bowl. So you're 100% right, Ken, because that was obviously the biggest call of the night that was not made. But
Saints scored 13 points in the first quarter. And how many did they score in the final three quarters? They played a conservative game plan.
More.
They didn't have the requisite weapons to deal with that Rams defense. I think that Sean Payton, if he would have had a viable tight end and a number two, I don't know, it was just easy for Wade Phillips. That game plan was easy. And you see that they started taking stuff away as soon as they jumped out to that.
And you know, nerves played a factor, right?
Well, early in the game.
NFC Championship.
Well, I think that was when I saw the report that Ben Watson was going to be out, I saw Skip tweeted Ace, like, I don't like this game. I'm switching my pick if the Rams win it. Like, because he said, like, they don't have, if you look at the Saints offense, it's really limited. It's just that everybody is just Kamara exceptional at their position.
And if we be real, they haven't been the same
since the Dallas game.
Was it the Dallas game?
That's when they looked pedestrian.
It was like a chink in their armor, and it just got exposed ever since then.
Well, you just see, I've never, like, especially the way the game started, Breeze was like, tap dancing like all over. Like he saw the defenders coming in, and he, you know how Breeze is. I've never seen him like this, but he just be throwing it, like trying to throw it to the ground, and then he just looked rattled. And then, like, I guess he got his composure throughout the game, but you could still tell that he was kind of looking like, who is it, Aaron Donald? Is it Sue? Like he was just waiting for that pressure.
Yeah.
And they gotta get more weapons. Like, I know they try to get Dez Bryant, they try to get, you know, Brandon Marshall. Like, it's like they need someone outside of Michael Thomas. They don't have a number.
They're not developed yet, I'll say that. I think they got some guys they believe in. They just haven't properly develop him yet.
They try to get Ted Ginn squeezed as much out of Ted Ginn.
He made a big catch, though.
He did. He put him
in position to win the game.
He did.
So the Saints, they did everything they needed to do to win the game. The refs didn't do their part to make sure that they win the game. And then if you go into OT and you got the ball, and then Breeze just chunked it up there, you know, and again, it speaks to that pressure that you were talking about. So he didn't want any of those problems. So he just heaved it up. But I got on the other side of the field, man, we got to look at Goff, man. He made some beautiful throws.
Been trying to tell y'all since rookie year.
He's very impressed. He's impressed me a lot.
I gave up on him with Jeff Fisher. Sean McVay?
That's every year that he excels, it shows you how shitty Jeff Fisher is as a coach. Like,
but he was still a rookie.
No, but I
yeah, but come on, Ken. Look, how many flashes have we saw? Because I was going solely off of the arm talent, right? And when you have arm talent like that, you can do better than what Jeff Fisher did.
Well, Todd Gurley did say they're running a high school offense. He called him out for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and part of that had to be, you know, I'm sure with the lack of touches he was getting, but. You know, nevertheless, he's definitely like a different guy. And the arm talent you're speaking of, McVay, the good son, is taking a full advantage of it.
Yeah, and you see how talented that team is based off of, like, Goff is, like, probably the fifth or sixth name you would mention on that team as far as stars. Or, like, you know, some, like, impact players. But he still is exceptional. Like, he's a top 10 quarterback. Like,
he's going to get ready to break the
bank. Can you name me 10?
How many minutes we have?
Can you name me 10? I'm doing this all episode. Can you name me 10 QBs better than him?
Of course.
Possibly.
Can.
Yeah.
I'm 10? With you on this.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Wait, hold on.
Goff is coming.
I think of it's the last arguable. 2 years.
Wait, hold on.
You heard the qualifier?
Of the last 2 years.
Of course. Like, you're guaranteed. But you're guaranteeing top 10. Like, if you would have said top 3 in the last 2 years, then you had, you know, there's more argument.
I don't
argument,
even know if it's top 10 in the last 2 years.
What do you mean? He would have been MVP this year.
He was in the running for the MVP.
Goff? Yeah. It was between. That's why I said Goff and Gurley.
Goff and Gurley were up there. The way they threw that ball all across the field on that vaunted Minnesota defense.
Yeah.
Goff was in that.
They
MVP.
Was hot.
Yeah, he was.
And
yeah.
he threw a great deep ball.
If they would have beat the Saints during that shootout, he was going to be top 3 in the MVP.
Y'all wrong. They were talking about Gurley.
No,
this year was all about Gurley.
Gurley fell off after that Vikings game. Actually, he fell off.
Goff was not.
I thought the Chicago
MVP
game was what messed him up. That Chicago game,
he got hurt on the Chicago game, I believe.
He did.
Yeah, yep, that was the game.
Okay, because he didn't do nothing.
But with Goff, it's
all right. Let's talk about this list. All right, let's talk about this list.
Go ahead, name them.
I'm gonna just name a couple.
All right,
Andrew Luck.
Okay, we're talking about better than. Yeah.
Right ahead of him on this top 10 list of yours.
Okay.
So we got Tom Brady.
And you said Andrew Luck.
Aaron Rodgers.
Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, you got
Russell,
that?
Wilson's a big game quarterback.
I'll give him Russell.
Okay, I'll put Matt Ryan.
Drew Brees.
Okay, that's five.
Hold on. Matt Ryan?
No.
Yeah, I to me, Goff is at the same level, if not better.
Yeah.
Than Matt Ryan?
Yeah. He's working with a lot less, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we still got five.
Matt Ryan's an underachiever. That's my problem
Matt
with
Ryan
Matt.
Got some 5,000 seasons on 5,000 yards.
He better when he got a 2,000 yard receiver every year.
Yeah,
who don't get hurt.
Matt Ryan got an MVP on his record too.
I feel you. This is Goff third season.
He got it in Goff rookie year. I think
he'll get one. He'll get one. But I'm just saying, talent wise, obviously Matt Ryan is capped out. Goff is still getting better, and he's already to me at the same level as Matt Ryan today, right now.
Who's Goff's best receiver? Cooper Kupp,
Robert Woods,
like that is that
Brandon
even?
Cooks?
Are we talking? Are we even? Are those
put
even?
Put Julio
top 15?
On that squad. See what happened.
Yeah, I mean,
are those even the receivers you mentioned? Are they even top 15? Top 12?
They're good for that system. That's why that just speaks to how good Sean McVay is as an offensive genius.
You stopped that Breeze.
So Breeze.
Five. Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
No, him.
No.
Yeah.
Big, Cam?
Big Ben?
I wouldn't put Cam over Goff.
Okay.
I would.
Big Ben? Not today.
Too mistake prone.
Not today.
Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, one of them two?
Nope.
Nah. Deshaun?
Nah. Yes. No way.
Nah,
Deshaun Watson?
Nah.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson?
No. It's close, but I wouldn't.
Over Jared Goff?
It's pretty close.
It's pretty it's close.
Throwing the football. Y'all would put Jimmy G? Deshaun Watson.
We haven't seen enough of Jimmy.
Yeah, exactly.
And on top of that, Goff is benefiting from a good coach. I don't see a McVay over there on the Houston Texans sideline, and he's still doing what he's doing.
So when I called Bill O'Brien out earlier, y'all was giving me flack, but now you go say he ain't got
in comparison to what McVay has done.
We just talking about quarterbacks.
I know.
So he might be a Bill top 10 because we still at five. Yeah. We still at five.
He might be top eight.
Dak? We gonna put I'm just throwing the name out here. I'm just throwing the name.
No Kirk Cousins. No Kirk Cousins.
Leave Andy. Leave Andy alone.
Mahomes.
Mahomes better than him, bro.
Okay, so we got six.
Hey. Mahomes better.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers. I would say Phillip Rivers too.
Yeah, only because he has the longevity.
Nope.
But I would put like Phillip at 10 because he's still performing. He's still getting numbers.
You all considering body of work or just looking at the last 2 years?
I said last 2 years.
Last 2 years.
Okay. He's still up there.
I'm not giving it to
Big Ben. Got to be in there too.
Big Ben didn't even make the playoffs this year.
Yeah. Talking about that.
That's a part of the 2 years.
Did Aaron Rodgers make the playoffs?
No.
Okay, then what you just said don't matter.
No, but
Big Ben, you can't apply it to one and not the other.
No, but Aaron Rodgers, as far as the last two seasons.
He wasn't that great this year if we look at it. Come on now. Big Ben was better than Rodgers this year.
But look at what Aaron Rodgers is working with compared to Big Ben.
Big Ben made a lot of mistakes.
You wanted to disqualify that when I brought up Bill O'Brien versus Sean McVay.
You was talking about coaches. I was talking about teams.
Goff is top 10. I'm looking at the NFL teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's top 10.
He's top 10.
He's top 10.
Put him there.
He's top 10.
Yeah. He's top 8. He's top 10. He just went to the list. He's top 8.
No. I think Mr. Disrespect definitely has a point because I'm thinking of all of the other teams. They all have like rookie quarterbacks.
James Winston.
No. Hey. Yeah. Uh-huh.
L-shaped lobsters.
Beat the W. Wow.
But yeah, I guess he is top 10.
He is top 10.
But yeah, I'm just saying, but like, look how easy it is to dismiss him. Like, he's nothing really sexy about him. Like,
he's coming.
But he's coming. No, I'm just saying, like, as far as like, he's not the first quarterback you mentioned. Like, I would play for him. Like, he brings confidence to a team.
But you have to establish that because obviously Carson Wentz has had a really good first couple years. Obviously he's been injury prone. And he was injury prone in college, mm-hmm. So that's part of the Wentz factor. However,
Goff
when
was like
healthy,
number one pick though, wasn't he?
Was he was a number one pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but when Wentz is healthy, he looked damn good. You know what I'm saying?
Would have been MVP last year if it wasn't for him tearing his knee up. Mm.
I think y'all bugging, but okay. All right.
What's going on with Goff? Why don't you like
Goff?
That's
what he say when he loses an argument.
Why don't you like Goff?
It's not that I just don't. I just think the other quarterbacks are there already. You know, the Matt Ryans, the Cam Newtons, the Big Bens, the Phillip Rivers. You know, Goff is still building up his resume. I just don't. I don't know if he's ready.
Got
yet.
Some playoff wins.
Carson Wentz. I would take Carson Wentz over Goff.
I don't know about that.
Why?
You know why? Because you know me, right? Like, I feel like I'm an evaluator of talent. When I break down their game, Carson Wentz. I think Jared Goff has like a top three arm in the league. Top three, top four arm in the league.
And Wentz don't
deep ball. Especially
it's better
ball.
Than Wentz. His arm is better than Wentz.
Yeah, he does. He does.
And everything. Accuracy, velocity, deep accuracy. Goff has him on everything. The best throw of the football right now in the game is Mahomes.
Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate last year before he got busted up. Before he tore up
his knee.
And everything, every
single of course,
talent.
I'm giving you that. And that's why I said Carson Wentz is up there too when healthy. I'm giving him all the credit in the world. I'm just saying with what makes a quarterback special, he's not more special than Goff.
Goff's
arm is way more special than Carson Wentz's arm.
I think Carson Wentz is a little bit more special than Goff.
Not arm wise.
What reason?
Because he got
better legs than him.
He didn't need a coach to come in and save his career.
He has Doug a Peterson. System too.
Yeah,
he's got a system.
You saying that like that's a bad like we don't expect quarterbacks to have a coach to go with them. Like what is Tom Brady without
I'm just
Belichick?
Saying, because in the first year. We said that Goff was a bust. And we weren't saying that about Carson Wentz at all.
A lot of people, well, because
Big Ken,
because Goff was so horrible, we forgot Wentz was 6-10 or maybe even less at it.
Wentz started out with a winning record, and then they fell apart.
Yeah, exactly. Afterwards. So people at Philly wasn't like over the top, over the moon about Wentz. He was just like, all right, we'll wait till next year, because the first year that he started off,
they saw the flashes. Yeah, they were like, what they saw was enough for them, and then next year he was MVP. And then, you know, this year, you know.
Coaching mean a lot in the NFL.
That's what I'm saying.
It does.
And I don't disrespect anybody.
And here's the thing. You can't tell me any of the greatest quarterbacks to ever perform at the NFL at the highest levels that didn't have a competent coach at their level or above what that quarterback is. There hasn't been one. I guess maybe Dan Marino. Maybe. Right?
Yeah, he still had Shula.
For like a year.
And that was it.
He only had
that was it.
Why do I think he was? I thought he coached longer than that.
I thought Shula was there longer than
I did
year.
Too.
I mean,
for Dan Marino. Okay, fine. More than Shula, three.
Yeah, because Dan Marino was drafted in '84. Shula didn't stop coaching until like the early '90s when was it Jimmy Johnson came down there? Don Shula, I'll pull that up.
I'm looking at it right now.
Don Shula was there for like 6-7 years.
Don Shula was the Miami Dolphins head coach from 1970 to 1995.
95, exactly. Okay. So 11 years. He was there for 11 years.
Okay, so I'll take that back. He had a Hall of Fame coach. But that just drives home my point.
Yeah.
Name me a all-time great quarterback that didn't have
Joe
a coach.
Montana, Bill Walsh.
Exactly.
You know,
John Elway.
John Elway.
What's his name?
Shanahan.
Andy Dalton, Marvin Lewis.
But Sean Payton, Drew Brees, Tom Brady,
Bill Belichick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like they just have, Ken.
Big Ben. So, Ben
wasn't Steve McNair good quarterback when he was playing?
Different era.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
What made you great back then isn't what would make a quarterback great now. The intangibles were different.
We're moving the goalposts. We're changing the rules.
What about
we're
Warren
not changing
Moon?
The rules.
Who are you?
Who Warren Moon had coaching him?
Glanville.
How about John Harbaugh? How about John Harbaugh?
He wasn't that nice.
You talking about John Harbaugh, Joe Flacco?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Nah, Flacco.
Is he great though?
Yeah, I think people mean like
the greatest quarterbacks. They all had a head coach or a coach that's right at their level or better than them.
So you're saying McNair wasn't balling under Jeff Fisher?
I'm saying he was. Okay, you know what? But Ken, it was a different era of football. Would you agree with that?
Of course it was a different era, but it wasn't that much off from Don Shula, Dan Marino.
But Fisher was great for his time, though.
Oh, so now that's what it is.
But was he not? Did he not take the Houston Oilers to the Tennessee Titans and win games?
That Fisher offense was predicated on running because they had Eddie George.
And then they had Wycheck as the tight end.
And they had a good defense.
Fisher teams always had
Javon Kearse. You remember, he was like the first freak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they won in an era that it wasn't about all of these pre-reads. It wasn't about three wideouts, four wideouts. It was just a different era, Ken. And I'm not holding nothing against them.
So now we're going to have inflated stats.
We are. We know that. That's facts.
So it's going to be hard to judge who's actually great.
But that's why
they're sitting here throwing the ball like it's college.
But that's why people always say it's so difficult to compare eras.
Well, that's why you got to look at consistency. That's the only thing that, to me, is the only way to separate who was really great.
And are we going to forget that Goff went through a stretch where we thought he fell off the cliff? Because he did at one point.
What, this season?
Yes, absolutely.
When you played, what, Chicago?
He had a two or three game stretch where he didn't.
Chicago had the number one scoring.
Nah, it was
NFL,
more than that. Though. Like, people were.
What other game? That's the only game that's
No, it was two or three. I remember
that. He had a stretch.
But every game, every quarterback ain't going to throw four or five touchdowns. What I will say is this: Jared Goff had a signature game that Monday night against Minnesota. Well, he threw six touchdown passes. I think he threw six touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the trajectory of his deep balls, he catching receivers in stride.
Yep.
Now, I'm looking at Carson Wentz. Like, Big Ken, you say that you would take Carson Wentz over Jared Goff. I'm trying to think of a signature Carson Wentz game to where he was passing the ball over the yard. And I get it that the Rams probably have faster weapons and probably a better system that Jared Goff operates under. But – I don't know. I think that the Rams was on to something when they, because they could have had Carson Wentz, but they chose a guy, which was Jared Goff. And I think that in the upcoming years, we're going to see with MVPs and stuff, who's the better quarterback. So I guess the future will definitely determine.
Well, Wentz still got to get the reins of his team first.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. All right. So anyway. Y'all let us know, man. Is Goff a top 10 quarterback? All right,
top
so let's
eight.
let's jump to the game where Black America lost that night. Chiefs Patriots. I can't even say their name. Chiefs Patriots, man.
Again.
I mean, are we surprised?
I wasn't.
You know, everybody picked them except me. And I just refuse to pick the Patriots to win anything. But let me say this.
Andy Reid. That's just what I was
going to
say.
Let me say this.
Andy Reid.
Bill Belichick, again, second matchup, and he shut the Chiefs down in the first half. They clearly looked nervous. They clearly looked like they didn't have a plan B, C, or D. And
but they took a lot of – look – offensive football is a lot like a ballet. It's choreographed, right? It's grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think at one point in time, they had 18 minutes of possession to Kansas City's four.
They kept that ball.
I think in the second half, Mahomes only had, 3 minutes with the ball?
They doubled the time of possession.
Yep.
The Patriots did.
And on top of that, he took Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce out. They both combined.
No. He took Tyreek Hill out. Andy Reid took Travis Kelce out.
Nonetheless, those two, the best two players for Kansas City offensively, they combined for 30 yards and 3 catches? That's insane for the talent of those two players. That's
it doesn't crazy. Make sense.
Kelce had some drops too, though.
He had a big drop. He had a big drop on the slant. But for Andy Reid, like, and I was sitting there watching the game, I'm like, okay, we see they're just not going to let Tyreek Hill beat him. Mm-hmm. They have the safety just sitting there in the middle of the field, and they ran with him.
Yep.
You have, like, arguably the best tight end in the game, and you don't have a secondary game script for him. And you can just make one on the fly because he's Travis Kelce.
Well,
and on top of that, you have Sammy Watkins, who had 100 yards, but come on, bro.
Because that first touchdown was actually very smart by Andy Reid by isolating Travis Kelce over there on that right-hand side, and they ran that slant.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of did, but he didn't exploit that to force Bill Belichick to readjust.
He didn't force the readjustment.
On top of that, listen to, like, I think afterwards when the game was over, they were saying, like, Belichick drew up 8 plays the morning of the game.
That.
And he executed 5 of the 8, and they all worked. And it's like, when you're dealing with a guy like that, like, that's why when you talk to Andy Reid, he's going to make you use your left hand if you're right-handed. And he should have, like, he was trying to make him run the ball. And for some reason, he still thought he could pass. And that's where it was to his detriment. Now, Mahomes did miss, Williams, number 26.
Yeah.
Wide open in the end zone. Yeah. Like,
he was missing
Reed. They could have got into this game, but they still needed to. I wish Andy Reid would have been like, all right, let's run the ball, open up this play action, open up something, because they're going to give you that.
Well, we clearly saw they were missing Kareem Hunt.
And yes.
I think you brought that up last week, B.
Yeah.
And I said, like, earlier, I was like, is this going to be a mistake that's going to bite them later?
But it's not a mistake. In the nature of the NFL right now, something like that happens with video, cut ties. Because the backlash of that, you can't withstand.
But then what about the teams that are interested in him now? Like, you see reports.
Okay, fine. But that's their problem.
Multiple teams.
And that goes back to what kind of a discussion we've been having all season in the NFL is philosophy and organizational philosophy, and what are you going to stand for? And clearly for them, it was like, he lied to us and we just don't want to deal with it. So they're willing to eat a loss in the playoffs. And it's not like Damian Williams didn't have an effective game. He couldn't run the game, but he still, scored 3 touchdowns or something like that? No, 2. And let's not also forget that they did put 31 points up on their boys in the second half.
Yeah. They were scoring. Yeah.
21.
Mahomes was balling. He started balling that second half.
It looked exactly like that first game. Like, they got They got down in the first half and they came back second half just to lose by like overtime and stuff like that. Like it was just how the first game played out, basically.
Yeah, and a couple of gifts from the NFL because I don't know what that roughing the passer was, that little tap on the shoulder.
No, it was no gift because that offsides.
Well, I'm just saying the roughing the passer, I think that drop, that was a drop by Hogan. The ball touched the ground. It was a hell of a effort, but it looked like it touched the ground, but okay. But yeah, I think, again, we're looking at missed opportunities, right? Because you're right. They had the game. And D4 has been playing football for a very long time. How in the fuck are you offsides, bro? How are you offsides? Like, you cost your team a chance to go to the Super Bowl. That was it. When I saw that, I was like, oh, shit. And then I saw the flag. I'm like, oh, man. Then I saw the replay. I was like, are you serious? Like, bro, how?
Clearly over the line. And you looking, you ain't the ball over. The ball was over to his left, and you can't just look and see. Like, man, I'm over the line. But Kansas City, Kansas City, Kansas City. Man, I picked Kansas City to win that game. I wanted them to win it so bad, but Andy Reid.
Andy Reid is like how FIFA is with Georgia teams. Never trust
him. Oh, you can't trust
him. I never trust Andy Reid.
And I think that it's the aura of Bill Belichick because their play calling got too cute. You know, and the Patriots, they were unconventional because, you know, they was running a lot of zero coverage back there with the safeties where they was focused more on man. And I guess they didn't take advantage of the one-on-one coverage out there when Bill Belichick's defenses showed man coverage. And I guess the game plan of course he's going to take away Tyreek Hill. And you know, and the fact that they didn't adjust, it looks like they made adjustments in the fourth quarter to the tune of 21 points. But then they should have made those adjustments a lot sooner at halftime. You know, don't just wait till the fourth quarter. You know, to where Mahomes got hot. And then it was a travesty that Mahomes didn't even get a chance to touch the ball.
Yep.
And then if you look at with Michael Lombardi of The Athletic, he wrote a great article breaking down how they lost. And it's like
he's good. I like Michael Lombardi.
With 3:26 left in the game, trailing 24-21, the Patriots had all their timeouts remaining. And all the Chiefs had to do was basically like make them use all their timeouts. But they kept on doing passing plays, which were incomplete passes.
Slowing the clock.
Which worked right into Belichick. Because I don't have to use any of these timeouts. I can just – they're doing it for me. And it's like – that's what I mean by, like, you need to be able to be balanced and not just one-dimensional. And even though you don't have a Kareem Hunt, you still have a good offensive line. You can still get some push.
Defense didn't show up either. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, you're right. Because that was my second point. Because if you look at those – conversions that the pass were doing, it was like, what, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10?
3rd and 10.
And it's like,
I think they had almost like 3 of them in a row.
And it's like,
can't give up those plays. You got to get off the field.
Yeah, you got
to
get off.
What was their main thing that they could hold their hat up to as far as their defense?
Yeah, the third down.
Third down.
They lived on third downs.
Third down and pass rush, and they couldn't do neither one of that.
Yep.
But you know what? I they do have a good offensive line, but they were getting mauled by the Patriots.
They were.
Defensive line.
They were. Mahomes had to move too much. Like, if you're an offensive coordinator or head coach, offensive guru, and you're looking at that, you got to keep Travis Kelce back to block, or you got to do something. You got to give Mahomes more time because I don't want to say he had happy feet because he was definitely strong in the pocket, but he had to move.
But that's the thing. Like,
he had happy feet.
That's why I was like, they needed to design plays that either you're running the ball or you're getting the ball out of your hand in like 2 seconds. Just like Brady. Like, that's the reason why that pass rush for the point. Chiefs couldn't do nothing because it was 1-2, bop, 1-2. And then, like, the line was, I think someone said in the Chargers game against the Pats this season, Bosa was like, damn, bro, hold on to the ball for a little longer. Yeah. Let me get there. Because by the time they probably make their first move, the ball's already gone.
Free releases, those slow receivers getting free releases off the line. And if you know that what burner does the Patriots have?
None.
Why are you letting receivers get free releases?
Yeah, well, when they started the play press coverage, they were a little bit more effective, but it seemed like whenever they got in third and long situations, they backed up.
They zoned up. And
you can't do that with Tom Brady.
You can't do that with Tom, especially if you're not going to get a pass rush.
No, exactly.
Yeah, it was.
That's pitch and catch right there.
Long handoffs. That's all that is.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. So that's where we are. So, All right, so if you're the Chiefs, what do you, like, they've already fired their defensive coordinator.
They should have been done that. I don't even know how he would still have the job.
Where else do you
He wouldn't even made it out the locker room. I'm sorry. I would have been like, man, you got to find your own way home, dude.
Damn, man. You damn.
That defensive game plan was horrible, man. Was, all those third down defenses.
Home. He was like, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here.
I mean, like, man, go to the airport, man. You
man. They, well, yeah, defensive coordinator. Outside of that, they got to get younger with their, I think they need linebackers.
Yes.
They got to get younger with their linebackers.
Yes. Because Sorensen, oh my God, he was taking some bad angles all night long when he was covering the running back out of the backfield.
So yeah, it's just mostly defense. I think it's just linebackers and
they got to get another, they got to get another running back. They need more balance in that offense. So that's definitely something I think they got in the first three rounds. They have to address running back. They have to.
Yeah. They will. Gosh, they got a lot of needs on that team. Mm-hmm. Defensively, linebackers, maybe Eric Berry getting a little long in the tooth or whatnot. He's been injured.
Oh, man, he should have had that pick. Yes. He should have had that pick. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, it's just secondary. I think, you know, some secondary help. They could have used Marcus Peters. I can tell you that much.
Yep, they sure could have.
You know, they got rid of him, so. But
He would have been tailor-made for this game.
Oh, yep.
He would have been tailor-made for it.
Yep. Sometimes Saints. You got to pay the divas, man.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
You got to pay them sometimes.
The Rams.
Yep.
And that's your own, too. It was homegrown.
Yeah.
You got to.
Yep.
Yeah. What about the Saints? Yeah. What do they got to do?
They need number two. They got to get number two wide receiver.
They need a 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
They need weapons.
That's going to be their first pick. They're going to get the best wide receiver available. They need someone outside of Michael Thomas. Probably a burner, too. Someone that could take the top off.
Maybe that kid. Maybe that kid from Ole Miss that I heard is coming in this year's draft. He's supposed to be real good.
Yeah. I think they need a tight end. Breeze loves tight end.
Yeah.
He needs another Jimmy Graham.
He does. Mm-hmm.
You know, good he needs point, a Jimmy Cam. Graham. So I think that would be good. Yeah. The defense played well, so I think they'll be better next year. They got the two-headed monster in the backfield. He got his Sproles and Kamara. So yeah. So
and what's maybe, his face don't get popped for drugs again? What's his face? Number 20?
Ingram.
I'm sorry, man. That dude is on something. It was one game. The dude just drug an NFL player like 3 or 4 yards. I think I was talking to you about that. Yeah, he drug him. He was holding on to the dude's jersey. And I'm just like, man, this dude's still on some roids. He getting something shot.
Getting something,
shot in his butt.
Oh, man. So, dang. So, Alex, who you got winning the Super Bowl, man?
Patriots. Patriots.
Why you got the Patriots, though?
I just feel like Bill Belichick always has that custom game plan. I think this is McVay's first time there. So,
but see, that was my stance going into this week. Right, I thought McVay was going to kind of outcoach himself. Right, he didn't. He actually he showed me a lot. He showed me that
he's a damn good coach.
Yeah, he's a damn good coach. You know, and I kind of questioned it going into this weekend, but. I think he wants that match. Look, he already took down Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
You take down Bill Belichick on the way to get your first ring.
Ooh, NFL gonna eat that up.
They gonna eat that up.
Media gonna eat that up.
Look, they already love
him. The
they're
already, saying.
Yes, he's already saying. The golden boy. Because look, how many seasons has he been with LA?
Two.
33 years old, I think, too.
How you got a coaching tree, bruh?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
How?
Right.
How?
I told you it was a plant. It ain't a tree yet.
That's what I'm saying. If you beat the great Bill Belichick, they gone.
He's crowned.
There's only two coaches that have beaten Belichick in the Super Bowl. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Tom Coughlin.
Yeah. And Doug Peterson, yeah.
It's about to be a third one, too.
Ooh.
You got the Rams. This game, I don't know. I think that the Rams.
It's the rematch.
I'm gonna win this game because if you look at the personnel that the Rams have matches up defensively very well with the Patriots. I think that Dante Fowler is gonna completely take Gronk, which is, I don't know, he's not the same out the game. You got Wade Phillips, who Bill Belichick is proven to have trouble with on offense. I think that those receivers are not gonna get free releases.
Nope.
When you have to stop the Patriots, you have to stop Julian Edelman. And I think that Peters ain't gonna be like, Peters, you take Edelman completely out the game and force Tom to make second and third option reads. Mm-hmm. I think that Jared Goff has a breakoff game, and I think that the Rams win maybe by 7+ points.
Really?
I'm calling it.
I'm going with the Pats, unfortunately. Just for the fact that this whole time we've been saying the other team, they got the best person, they got better personnel, and it's like that does not work, especially with the way, again, they got Aaron Donald, Sue, they got Peters, Tlaib. He still gets that ball out of his hands in 2 seconds. He's faced this gets to a point where it's just like you have to just
press call.
Nah, and here's the thing, right? Like, to try to get pressure on Tom Brady because he gets the ball, it's not going to be from the edge. You got to get him up the gut. And what? And I'm 100% with Brown, because they don't have to get those edge rushers. They can get that pressure right up the gut. Move Tom Brady. Tom Brady's going to have to move in this game. He's not going to be able to stay there. He's not going to be able to get passes off that quick, because they're going to put Aqib Tlaib man up in your grill. I know what you just ate right before you came out here. Oh, matter of fact, you didn't even eat. You had one of them Gatorade chews, bro. I can smell that right here. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to be right, all up in his grill. Marcus Peters can play off the second wide receiver, right? Yep. The way he likes to play.
Yep.
Right? And jump these short routes that they always run. Gronk is going to be key for the Patriots if they're going to have anything, right? Because
I disagree. I think it's Sony Michel and James White. Those have been the two players, the running backs, basically.
No. I agree. But the only reason why I didn't mention them is because I think that
Rams
front
neutralize
that
front,
exactly that, that's going to be neutralized.
Look what they did.
They're not going
to
be able to run.
No, I'm not talking about running. I'm talking about in the passing game. While Tlaib and Peters are worried about the receivers, you're going to have to, like, what linebackers on the Rams are as quick as either one of those
guys? Fowler.
Well, that's where coaching will come into play.
Yep.
That's where Wade Phillips will come into play.
Yep.
So he'll coach them up.
But this is like, who's the better defensive mind, Belichick or Phillips?
Wade Phillips is up there, bro.
Yeah, they're
I'm not saying he's not bad. I'm not saying he's horrible. Yeah. I'm just saying who's better, though.
I think they're comparable.
But exactly. And look, and it's any given Sunday. Like, just because you might be better than me doesn't mean you can beat me.
I got more
in the cupboard, bro.
I think that the Rams have more, the personnel, and the personnel is more tailored to defend that New England Patriot quick passing game. Marcus Peters is a press cover corner. Aqib Tlaib is a press cover corner. That doesn't mean, so that means that receivers are going to get, they're going to get manhandled off of those breaks or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And Julian Edelman is not a fast receiver at all. So I think that if you ask Aqib and Peters, if they do their job, and if Dominic and Sue and the reigning defensive player of the year show up at least 50%. Yep. I think it's going to be a rough day with moving the ball for that Patriot team, especially on carpet.
Yep.
We're not even talking about Sean McVay.
And then let's be honest, right? Like, 30 points, that's a bit much for the Patriots, right? Like, that's not consistent.
We said the same thing about that Chargers game, and they threw up 48.
Okay, look, when you have Tom Brady.
Lynn. And lack of, and they were, and their defensive plan.
Yeah,
did we ever think they was going to throw 48 on the Chargers?
But that's the point, though, right? Like they're not a consistently high powered offense. We know the Rams are.
Yeah,
and we know it doesn't matter what you got on that other side. I'm gonna put up 30+.
Yeah, but
you keep up? I don't think they can keep
they've
up.
They've changed
this game.
Course since Cooper Kupp got hurt.
I understand
they've been
that.
More of a running team, like you mentioned with CJ
but
Anderson.
They still they putting up it. The points though.
Against Belichick, I can't see them throwing a 30 against Belichick.
All I'm saying is, you know how Belichick likes to take away that main thing.
We didn't see it last year.
The Rams still got other options. The Rams still got other options, and then we still haven't seen Gurley in the playoffs. Like, he's a great player. He may be hurt. If he's hurt, then I'm not expecting nothing. You hurt, stay on the sideline. It is what it is. CJ Anderson's fresh right now. Let him do it. But if he's not hurt and he's just been a little tweaked and Sean McVay has been able to save his guy for this moment, come on, man.
And think about this, Ralph. Sean McVay is I would put him as a top three offensive mind.
Yep.
And I think just as Bill Belichick plays games defensively, Sean McVay will play games with offensively, with bringing out both Todd Gurley and CJ Anderson, and maybe using Todd Gurley as a decoy, maybe running them in motion to see what type of sets and stuff that they're in. I think that all bets are off. I think that Sean McVay is gonna, man, I think that he's probably, this game is gonna probably propel him to probably the second best offensive mind in all of probably the best offensive mind in the NFL.
Y'all getting drunk off that McVay juice.
I tell you what, if they win this game, y'all can have he'll be top eight. I'll give you top eight. If he beats the Patriots,
he's not top eight now?
No. But if he beats the Patriots, he'll be top eight in my book. Who you got, B?
I don't see Patriots going back to back and losing two Super Bowls in a row, so I'm just going with the Patriots. I think
be with that old man wisdom.
I just don't see it, man. I don't see them coming back, going back to the dance again, losing this Super Bowl after, you know, them losing last year. I just think they're gonna win this, and they're gonna go down this, as me and Nick discussed yesterday, is probably the greatest franchise in team sports history.
Let me ask you this, B, since you can't see it happening, if it does happen, how does that change anything for Tom Brady and the dynasty at all?
No, because NFL is tough. You got to think, man. There's teams that haven't even sniffed the playoffs, let alone the Super Bowl. This man went to in the last 18 years, this man went to Super Bowl nine times, half dude. The time. That's crazy. Yeah, that's tough in football with injuries and your free body's agency. Breaking down. And look at the personnel they didn't have. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they had the same consistent like type of players or whatever. You know, but it goes back to what we talked about, having a good, great coach.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Is that more impressive than LeBron's run to the finals?
Hell yeah. Mm-mm. Hell yeah.
Ooh.
What competition?
Don't even go competition.
The least conference.
What competition?
AFC
East. Look at what. No, I'm just talking about in the playoffs. We talking about playoffs.
Oh no, you can't do that. No, we're talking about
Super Bowls though. I thought that's a good discussion. Well,
you can't discredit the regular season, bro.
The regular season don't mean a damn thing. When does the regular season ever matter when it comes to
because your path is easy to get to the playoffs because you face no competition in the regular season.
In the NFL playoffs compared to the NBA playoffs, which one is more competitive?
It's easier because you only have to win two games, number one, and if you get a bye week, which the Patriots tend to do because they have a weak division, it becomes a lot easier because they're playing at home.
In this season, they've beat the Chiefs. They beat the
Chiefs twice.
They beat the Chiefs twice. Who else did they? Yeah. They play good teams this year.
They beat a rookie quarterback. It's the second
year. They lost to Pittsburgh this year. Tom Brady looked very lost ordinary. To Miami. They lost to Miami. Tom Brady.
They beat Chicago.
This is not the same Tom Brady. This is playoff Tom,
and we know that the greatest can pull from deep down and give you these spectacular performances, and that's what we're seeing.
Wade is going to get some hands on him. I'm telling you,
get some hands on him. But you all see that Cam Newton Super Bowl? Cam Newton was running for his life out there. I don't care if they had Von Miller or whatnot. Tom Brady, which is a pocket passer, will be running for his life against Wade defense.
Well, that's the only way they got hope to win it. But as far as
you're gonna get him off his spot.
Comparing this Patriots run to LeBron's run, it's just like LeBron. Man, he took a butcher, a baker, and a candlestick maker to the finals twice. Like, come on, like what Brady is doing against that competition every year in, year out. To go nine times to it's a Super Bowl, like.
But remember LeBron's
NFL
run.
Is hard, like, cap.
It is, but remember LeBron's run, right? Like how many straight finals has he been
eight.
To?
Nine,
eight,
I thought
eight,
it was eight.
Yeah, you're right. He's three and nine, so he was eight.
Eight straight times, right. And we're talking about more games, right? More things to happen in the playoffs, and I would say that. He's had less coaching than Tom Brady has had, right? Could you say that the rosters have been relatively equal where he doesn't really have that other guy? Some years, right? But when they had a healthy Kyrie and K-Love, that was by far the best team that they had.
His best years would be when he's with all-stars.
Who?
LeBron.
What do you mean his best? Nah. Every year is his best year.
No, I'm saying like his best years as far as like championship runs, windows, has been with all-stars. It's not like he was by himself. It's
last
like that
year
one
was,
time.
Was statistically his best year, and he
didn't have nobody.
He didn't have anybody, yeah.
But like the bulk of his championship, like when he was with the Heat, when he the second part of the Cleveland stint, he had multiple all-stars with him.
And Tom Brady had Randy Moss.
That was like, that was what, two,
and
3 years?
And he had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. Yep.
It's not like
Corey Dillon.
Look, exactly. It's not like
Last year they went to the Super Bowl without Gronk.
Look, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Tom has never had nobody as great as him, the same way LeBron has never, because LeBron is the best. He hasn't had anybody better than him. However, Tom has had guys. They just haven't been consistent guys, because we're talking about the NFL and we're talking about the Patriots. The Patriot way is to get them, to get rid of the guy a year too early before a year too late.
What Pro Bowler does Tom Brady have now?
Currently, he don't. But what all-star player did LeBron have last year? So
you know, I still give it to Brady.
Here's the thing.
You're just a LeBron hater, skill.
It's just the NFL so tough, man.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, he, salary cap too. So I mean,
but going to the final luxury tax in the NBA, times, bro.
It's a lot more stuff to happen, though. But it's a lot more stuff to happen in basketball than it is football. Football is really one and done, right? So any given Sunday, you can win damn near any game. I gotta beat you four times.
That's what makes
the better team usually wins in the NBA, but.
Exactly.
LeBron has been in the Eastern Conference, a weak Eastern Conference.
And he hasn't always had the better team.
But Brady been in the weak AFC East, too.
Exactly.
And that's, you know? But that's negated and that's, once you go to the playoffs, because
it is.
Not always. Not always.
What time? When was it been like a weak AFC as far as getting on the path of the Super Bowl? Like where Brady has faced like a weak team?
Oh, he's faced a couple of weak teams. I've looked it up. I looked it up when y'all brought it up. Ooh,
what teams?
Yeah, I just want to know. Man, I know he's probably faced like one, but like
he's faced recently, more than one.
I'm talking about like recently. Because you mentioned Jackson. That was the number one defense, though. Like, he's playing against their defense. He's
Blake
not,
Bortles, man. Come on, man.
Blake Bortles threw up 20-something against
the Panthers. Take you to the promised land. Blake.
Come on, yeah.
Yeah. I
mean, Blake Bortles beat Pittsburgh.
Their defense was legit, though. Their defense was definitely legit. And so they were losing at halftime. The thing about this Patriot mystique and everything was the Seattle game. That could have been a loss on their record. And God bless
Carroll,
Atlanta game, 25-3. Now that was a complete debacle.
Yep.
And then, well, they lost to Philadelphia. So
barely lost too. If it wasn't for the strip sack.
A strip sack. That did it.
Lost the Giants twice.
Yeah. Those are all close games too.
Close games. But I just, well, we'll see how this play out.
But let's talk about like their performances in the finals. Right. Like to me, LeBron and Tom Brady have been relatively equal. You look at LeBron outside of the Dallas series. OK, I give you that. You know, I'm a big LeBron guy, but I can't excuse that. That was inexcusable. I give you that one if you want to bring that up in the argument. But every other finals, except for the first one, too. You're too young. You damn near high schooler or college player taking a damn grown ass NBA team to the finals. Outside of those two, his performances have been virtuoso. You can honestly
even
say,
against the Spurs when they lost by a record margin.
Look at LeBron's performance. Look at LeBron. Look.
He caught a cramp in game one because the air conditioning wasn't on.
Hey man, you talking about a big guy now? He need to be hydrated. I'm talking about a Mack truck now.
And in FIFO's praise of LeBron, he's mentioned three things we got to throw out.
No,
but here's the thing.
Good point.
But I'm just saying, the first one you can't. You
I'm just saying. When have you ever looked at Tom Brady in the game, especially when the games that matter, and be like, oh, he had
Here's
a bad
the thing,
game.
Though. How long did Tom Brady go to college?
What was it? All four? Or three, four?
3-4 years, right? All I'm saying is that Tom Brady, plus, did he start when he got into the league? No. Was Tom Brady, like, oh my God, we got to get Tom Brady. He the number one pick. No, that man was literally the last pick in the draft. LeBron was the number one pick with the most expectation ever out of anybody coming into the league, and he's lived up to that expectation. There was a learning curve that he had to have. He was just that great. He can overcome. I don't think we've seen a player like that. LeBron needed a learning curve. LeBron needed to go to Miami and learn how to win from Pat Riley and D-Wade. He needed that. All I'm saying is that Tom Brady kind of had that already with leadership intangibles through college. Also sitting behind Drew Bledsoe, also having Bill Belichick for his entire career. He was more ready to exceed once he got in there than LeBron was once he first got in there.
I mean, the way they both started out, one is highly talented that had to learn skill, and one he's like, Tom Brady's just like, not saying he's self-made, but he's worked his way to where he's at. Like, there's nothing about Tom Brady that was gifted to him.
But LeBron hasn't. LeBron wasn't.
I'm not saying LeBron had. I mean, but he was the number one pick. Like, he was expected of a lot of things. Like,
okay.
He was,
and he's lived up to all of that.
He's been treated like royalty since, you know, the age of 15.
Hey, but think about this. He took an NBA team to the finals in what would have been his college senior year.
And Brady won a Super Bowl in what, his second, third year?
But my point is, for me, I feel like you're making my point, is the fact that Tom Brady, right, had college experience, right? Like, he I think he was a 2-year starter at Michigan, right? I know he wasn't all 4 years.
But in the NFL, you have to wait 3 years to get to the league.
All I'm saying is, when Tom Brady got into and thrusted into that starting lineup to be the quarterback of the future for this franchise, he was more equipped to lead that organization than LeBron was coming into the NBA. We talking about Paul Silas? Paul Silas? You know what I'm saying? He took Booby Miles. No, Booby Gibson. Gibson. I'm talking about the damn movie. He took Booby Gibson to the Donyell Marshall.
Hey, Booby had a record in that play.
Wally Zerbiak to the finals.
The shooting
Larry Hughes.
Larry Hughes and
to the finals.
Was it Eric Snow? Wasn't he on one of those?
Yes, that was a starting point guard, Eric Snow. To the finals in what would have been his senior year in college.
Yeah. That was impressive. Even the guy that JR threw the soup at last year. Forgot his name. He's a coach
Damon
on
Jones. Damon Jones. Yeah. He was on that squad. Look, I just think that for me, LeBron's run to that finals, even though he doesn't have more wins, to me has been more impressive to me, because it's more about LeBron. Like, the whole New England thing, it is Tom Brady and it's Bill Belichick.
But see, I'll just say this really quick. With basketball, it's five players on the court. When the NFL, it's offense, it's defense, and special teams, and everybody has to do their part. For the Patriots, because Tom Brady can't do it on his own, because LeBron has to play offense and defense or whatnot. And so LeBron has a greater margin of error than Tom Brady does. And for that fact, I have to agree with Tom Brady. It's just unprecedented. You will never. Well, you probably won't ever see someone go to the finals for 8 straight years either.
I'm with FIFO, because without that defense in key moments, 28-3.
Yeah,
you know, if they don't get stops on Matt Ryan,
but you still got to put points on
them. If Malcolm Butler don't make that interception, mm-hmm. what happens? You know, mm-hmm. if Vinatieri don't make
but
those you, kicks,
but,
what
but Brady had to get him to that point to make it matter.
Brady didn't make the interception.
No, he didn't. You're right.
All right. That's what I'm saying.
LeBron ain't make the shot either.
Brady didn't get those stops.
Got that
he
block.
Made the block.
Hey, you can't even get to the block.
If it wasn't for that defense, they do not win that game.
You can't get to 28-24 without Brady scoring point. Like, I'm like, we talking about the same thing, chicken or the egg.
No, everybody always look at what Brady did and discredit the defense.
Yep.
That's one of Shannon Sharpe's best points.
No, I'm not discrediting the defense, but I'm just saying you have to put points on the board.
But without that defense, Brady's not winning the games that he's winning.
But we look at, you talked about Jacksonville.
Brady's just one guy.
You talk about Jacksonville. They have a great
LeBron
defense.
LeBron's the whole team.
But the reason why they can't get nowhere is because of Blake Bortles. For all the talk you talk about defense, the reason why a lot of teams can't get, the reason why the Chicago couldn't get nowhere is because of Trubisky. The reason why,
I'm just saying,
there's a lot of teams where it's like, if it was a different quarterback.
Field goal kicker.
I'm just saying. Hey, they've all been close. I'm just saying. I'm just pointing it out, man. It's a great accomplishment. You can't knock it. But the league is watered down than it was back in the day.
You're knocking it right now.
You can't touch. Brady got tapped on the
shoulder and roughing the passer.
And roughing the passer. Come on, bro.
Goff got mushed in his face, and they called a face mask.
Well, hands to the face is whack. But I'm just saying, the touch. Come on, man.
He got tapped on the shoulder literally, and they called roughing the passer.
Yeah. So the game is made for him. Now, but
these rules were made because of that injury to Tom Brady and that first game
rule?
Against Cincinnati.
And the Tuck rule? Oh, yeah, that too.
That's what it was.
And the
I thought that was against Kansas City.
Kansas City. Okay. Either one of them. It was first game, yeah, first throw. So, I'll never forget that.
My pick, I mean, I said it last week. I said if if and more than likely, I said the team that I want to see win that I think could beat the Patriots will be the Rams. So I'm definitely going with the Rams, man. Aaron Donald, Sue's playing out his mind. Mm-hmm. And if Aaron Donald is the guy, is he supposed to be this generation's Lawrence Taylor? He got to go show it on the field.
They throw that name out too.
Yeah, because I think the whole Lawrence Taylor thing is the best defensive player, but they're different. You know what I'm saying? Like what Sue does for a football team is he's a guaranteed double team every damn play. There's no way you can one-on-one block this guy. No matter what you're trying to do, pass the ball, run up Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So what that does for a guy like Sue, oh my God. You can literally, that's the reason why you can build a whole defense around him. If you talk to any linebacker, they say that they want big D linemen to keep these old linemen off of me, keep me clean. And you know that's a guaranteed double team.
And I don't think Brady's been sacked this whole postseason.
Nope.
I don't think he's been sacked this whole postseason. So if Aaron Donald is the man that everybody's been telling me he was or is right now. Well, he needs to show and prove it next week.
Yeah, of course.
Next week. That's what I want to see. And I mean, we already know what the corners are going to do.
But here's the thing, though, Ken. You can't quantify, and this is the reason why I said what I said. You can't quantify everything that Aaron Donald does by his stats, even though his stats are
no,
crazy.
No. I agree with that. And I don't, because I know his impact is beyond just the stats. You know, his pressures, his double teams, is everything. But he needs to be impactful on the field. That's what I'm saying. Because that's what everybody big him up to be. And, you know, I know Ray Lewis play a different position, but Ray Lewis impacted the game when it came down to the playoffs. Yep. Like he was a wrecking ball out there. But more importantly for me, man, and if, you know, of course, Goff is a top 10 quarterback, then top 8, then he need to go show and prove. But for me, it's McVay. It's McVay. I've been slow on the McVay hype train, but he, from everything that I've heard about him, you know, is that he is very Belichickian, is that he obsesses over this stuff. He just, that's all he does is football, football, football. And he'll come up with a plan and a script, and he won't be outcoached. And he can make in-game adjustments on the fly that we've
seen. That's a good point.
In two games so far. So
I think that's the only thing that kind of gives people hope about the Rams is that kind of that uncertainty of like Sean McVay, like we don't know how good he really is just yet. We know how good Belichick is because we've seen it, you know, year after year. But Sean McVay is like, he might, like, there's a chance that he might out scheme Belichick. They're like,
yeah,
because we just don't know. We haven't seen his bag of tricks.
I think he will. Doug Peterson hung 41 on Bill Belichick last Super Bowl. And I think that the Rams have more weapons than what the Eagles had.
Well, I think defensively they're a lot better than they were last year as far as the Patriots.
Yeah, they are.
So really, man, it's not about, you know, the Rams' talent we all know is there, but it's really going to come down to coaching, just like it came down to coaching in the championship game. And Reed got our coach, period.
Yep, he did.
And we saw it on the field.
He got out.
How many times do we have, like, are we going to say that about Andy Reid before? It's like,
I think Andy Reid, I think we're very fair on what Andy Reid is. I think everybody, we don't overrate him. We rate him accordingly. He's not as great as the championship head coaches. He's not a championship coach. He's had plenty of opportunity to prove that, to show that, and he comes up short consistently. But we cannot take away the genius of Andy Reid. Yeah. We know that if you have a fledgling organization, that he could turn it around. We know that he can pick out a quarterback and groom that guy and get you to NFC or AFC championship games. We know that. We just know that he's not going to get you to the Super Bowl.
Well, the odds of him getting to another Super Bowl is going to be slim.
Whoa.
Let me take that back.
Yeah, he's better. So he clean that up.
Let me take that back. It's just, not slim.
It's slim if he has to go through New England.
Because...
But who's going to last longer? Brady and Belichick or Mahomes and Andy Reid?
Right, yeah.
So eventually Brady going to be out the league.
Eventually
Andy Reid going to retire.
I guarantee you this. Andy Reid stays in the NFL longer than Tom Brady does. And I bet you that. No, I'm not going to bet that. But I bet you that.
I've never really understood. Like, I was totally against them getting rid of Andy Reid in Philadelphia. I didn't understand it. The man went to 5 straight NFC championships, and he played in the Super Bowl.
He just overstayed his welcome.
You know,
I think that's what it is.
It was time for a new voice in that.
That's what everybody keeps saying, man. And then they went to shit. Now they eventually got a Super Bowl.
I mean, they got a Super Bowl without him.
I guess it eventually worked out.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, you know, I just was against it. But either way, the man went to Kansas City and started winning. Philadelphia wasn't. And then he got a quarterback. And then now we've seen what he's done. So the man has proven himself to be a great head coach. But the criticisms against him in big games, I think, came when he had Alex Smith.
I think he's the Mike D'Antoni of the NFL.
Mike D'Antoni played in the, as he coached in the finals?
Nah. Nope. I think you know who I think he is? I think he's Larry Brown of the NFL. Because it doesn't matter how jacked up this situation is, as soon as he comes into the building, it's instant credibility, and there are certain principles and values that we're going to have, and almost overnight he's going to get you to at least 500, and year two you're going to be competing already.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where you're starting from, he can get you competing by year two.
All right, man, let's jump into this Wentz thing. Do you guys buy this Wentz story about him in the locker room and him being selfish and the character assassination?
I think that's all like a ploy from the organization trying to get him out.
The organization or the players?
Well, the players, the ones that matter, stood up for him. So I don't think it's really a player thing. I think it's more of some reason to justify if we did move on from Wentz.
Even though they've named him the starter going forward.
I mean.
And why would you as the organization want to get rid of a guy you basically traded all your assets to get?
Because he ain't taken to the dance.
Yes, he did.
When?
Before he went down.
He went down and then from there it was.
Hey, man.
We don't know what was. They could have went one and done after that.
He stacked those chips up, didn't he? He got them wins, didn't he?
He didn't get the wins.
Nick Foles, hey man, it's just like a relay race, baby. Nick Foles just came in, grabbed the baton, and took it
home. If Alshon Jeffrey doesn't, you know, not catch that ball and get turned over for a pick, we don't know how that game ends.
All right, so you got the flask right now? Because if we drink it, let's drink.
Hey, I'm just saying, it's a real complex situation when you have the obvious talented quarterback that anybody would pick on any given Sunday.
MVP caliber.
But there's this quarterback over here who's the more accomplished one.
It brings a weird dynamic.
And they have a shrine in the locker room for Foles, not for Wentz.
If you're the Philadelphia front office, you know that you're going to have to eventually pay Carson Wentz. You're probably going to have to pay him in the neighborhood of $30 to $35 million, and you're going to have to give him multiple years.
Why would you have to do that?
Unproven, because his contract is coming.
What has he done? What has he done?
But that's going to be the going. Yeah, exactly. That's going to be the going rate for quarterbacks in the next. And he's up. I think that because Dak, they're talking about.
That's what I was about to
this
bring.
Year.
Well, that's what I was talking about.
And this brings me to my point. They're not going to have to pay Nick Foles all that much money. And the fact is that Nick Foles has a Super Bowl MVP under his record. So if I was in the front office, you know, I know that they gave up a whole lot to get Carson Wentz, but Carson Wentz is an unproven commodity. Carson Wentz has proven to be injured 2 out of the last 3 years. Nick Foles has won a Super Bowl for Philadelphia since. When was the last time Philadelphia won a Super Bowl?
Never.
They never won a Super Bowl. And so you finna get ready. It's going to be a PR nightmare. As soon as next year comes and Carson Wentz starts stinking up the joint, and now there's already rumblings from the locker room, and they just cleaned out. They haven't even cleaned out the lockers. Now there's already rumblings from the locker room saying that he's selfish and all of this other stuff. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bode well. It doesn't bode well for Carson Wentz. If I was a front office, I'm sorry. Wow. I'm sorry. I'm getting rid of Carson Wentz.
And my point is, like, look at Dak Prescott. Look at his resume. He deserves more money than Carson Wentz right now based on his resume. He's won a playoff game. He's never had a losing season. So,
but
compare that to Carson Wentz's resume. Like, what are we talking
about? But let's be honest, though. Right. Contracts aren't all based off of resume. Mm-hmm. Contracts are also based off of potential and skill set. And where Carson Wentz and the market, and where Carson Wentz doesn't have the record, he's a better quarterback talent than Dak Prescott, mm-hmm, to me. You know what I'm saying? That Prescott, we remember, we talked about it. That man's a trailer. He ain't no truck.
So you
and I think Carson Wentz, he doesn't have the track record yet, but I think he's more of a truck than a trailer to
so
me.
We're talking about market value, right? So mm-hmm. I got a list of, I think, top 10 quarterbacks right now.
That Matt
their, Ryan. Their salary for last season. Wow. Aaron Rodgers, number one, wow. was 33.5 million. Matt Ryan was number 30. Two with 30 million. Kirk Cousins was number three with 28. Jimmy G was number four with 27.5. Matt Stafford, number five at 27. I can go down the line, but as I'm naming these quarterbacks, which one of these was in the playoffs, Ken? None of them.
That's not the point.
None of them.
What?
But so what we talking about when it comes
up? No. As soon as you said the first three.
No, but what we're talking about is the market don't mean a damn thing as far as when it comes dollars making sense. Who should be getting paid?
But that's all about dollars making dollars, though.
Talking about. We're talking about who should be getting paid, not what the market's saying.
I'm just saying is that the salary cap, there's a hard salary cap in the NFL. Once you pay a quarterback $30 to $35 million, that means that you're taking dollars away from the defensive side of the ball. You're taking them away from the offensive side of the ball. And if I was Philadelphia's front office, I can give Nick Foles maybe $20 million.
Just franchise him. It's like, what, 21? That's all you got
to
do.
But you're going to have to possibly pay two quarterbacks or whatnot. And that's
why I say you trade one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to have to anyway.
So let me ask you this. Would you be cool with your Giants taking Carson Wentz?
No. I'm good. We getting Dwayne.
Wow.
We going for the Dwayne. It's cheaper. Wow. Like, look at the division leaders this year as far as rookie contracts. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, he won the division on a rookie contract. NFC East, Dak Prescott, rookie contract. The LA Rams, Jared Goff, still on rookie contract. Mitch Trubisky, they won the North, rookie contract. Houston Texans, they won, like, all rookie contracts. I don't need to pay anybody or trade anybody, give up assets when I can just draft a QB. Look at the talent that you mentioned.
Due soon.
Yeah, but you're not going to get nothing this year.
What do you mean?
Quarterback?
There's a couple. Look at the last 3 years. There's three quarterbacks every year.
Yeah, but do they often pan out?
Look.
And when you got one.
Starting in 2016, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, 2017, Trubisky, Mahomes, Watson, 2018, Mayfield, Darnold, Jackson.
Okay,
Allen,
prior to then.
Like,
I don't
but that's what I'm saying. There's we talk about, we had like quarterbacks
in
a dime
Blake
a dozen.
Bortles. You could have had Tim Couch. You could have had, you know, Achilles Smith. You could have had Jamarcus Russell.
Okay. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, but
I'm
right.
Just saying,
but like, Dwayne, so we're saying Dwayne ain't.
But if you have a proven commodity, if you have a guy that you know can play this game at a high level,
is Wentz,
at an MVP
we're
level.
We're talking about Wentz.
Say.
Wentz ain't proven at all. He just
exactly.
mentioned.
Exactly. He's not proven.
How is Wentz not proven when the man was MVP a couple
how many
years
games
ago?
How many official games has he played throughout three seasons?
I have to do the math.
He's injury prone. Why am I paying for injury prone? When I can draft a young kid who barely is getting touched even in college, it's gonna
I
be
think
a
y'all
fresh
talking
guy.
Crazy, man.
I'm just telling you what
yeah, it sounds crazy, but here's they make a lot of logical sense.
Foles won a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Not only that, he was
like
Super Bowl MVP.
Exactly.
He wasn't what's his name?
Super Bowl.
Trent Dilfer. He didn't drop Dilfer the situation. He was the star of the show.
Okay, let's slow down for a minute. Right. Foles had one great game that whole playoff run.
Minnesota was
awesome
the number
in that game?
One defense that he was going against. Yes, look at the numbers.
I have to pull it up, but Foles struggled mightily.
Minnesota was just happy to be there. You could tell by the way they played.
Y'all like Foles didn't struggle?
Yeah, no,
I'm not
saying he looked
awesome. I'm just saying
here's
he
the thing,
won.
Ken, no, you're 100% right, and that's why I'm saying you keep Wentz. However, from the organization dollars and cents standpoint, you can be – I guess upper middle class with Foles and still get more talent around him versus now you pay Wentz and now it's really on Wentz. And is Wentz really that guy?
He's shown it.
But here's the thing. I agree with you.
In the playoffs, he's shown it.
Okay. I agree with you that Wentz is more of a guy than Foles.
He couldn't even beat Dak Prescott.
When? This year?
This year.
He beat Dak Prescott before.
He lost to him. We're talking about this year. He lost to him twice.
Man, you always try to pigeonhole it down to one thing. You act like he hasn't beat Dak Prescott.
Okay.
Has he beat Dak Prescott before? I think he has.
Okay, if he has, he ain't do it this year.
What difference does it make? You said he couldn't beat Dak Prescott.
I'm saying he hasn't beat. He didn't even beat Dak Prescott this year in the two games.
Okay,
he had,
so now you're trying to reframe it.
No. I'm just
see the one or the other.
I'm just saying you're talking about him as
and they struggled this year. Anyway.
You're talking about him as a proven commodity. Like, what games are you talking about?
How is a man that was Mahomes before Mahomes. How is
he? Was not Mahomes before Mahomes. We weren't gushing about him like Mahomes.
Yes, they were.
Not like Mahomes. But he was being gushed about. He was Mahomes before Mahomes. Yeah,
I would say Watson was more gushed than Mahomes.
Wentz was. They loved Wentz.
I'm talking about when it came to like the NFL game, like what he was doing in the games. I ain't talking about before the draft and all that.
No. Wentz was putting up numbers his MVP year. He had more touchdown passes, I think, damn near than Brady did the whole season. Wentz was balling his year before he got hurt. The stats are there. They loved him. He just got hurt. And then Foles Mania took over.
I agree with that, but I'm just saying, like, how many times have we mentioned, like, oh, if this guy just stays healthy, then he can do it. Like,
but then again, playing quarterback during the regular season is a whole lot different than playing quarterback and winning games in the postseason. How many quarterbacks have good stats during the?
But you know,
Matthew Stafford,
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, they put up good numbers in the regular season, but you mm-hmm. make your fame in the playoffs. And right now, Carson Wentz is unproven.
And the reason why
Foles, he won the Super Bowl.
And the reason why is because they do more to help Foles than they do to Wentz, because they think Wentz can do a lot more than Foles can. So they scale down the offense, they do the RPO, and they tailor-made the offense to fit Foles. I've heard from plenty of people that have been in the organization and insiders that say that. That's why it looks different under Foles than it does Wentz.
So you're saying the tailor-made offense they make for Wentz is not as good as the offense they make for Foles?
I'm saying that the people are questioning why they don't run the same type of offense with Wentz when he's more than capable. And they're basically saying that they're handicapping the offense for Foles because they think that there's only certain things that he can handle as a quarterback. Well, he has limitations.
Apparently he can handle a Belichick defense because he carved them up last year.
Well, maybe the Belichick defense just wasn't that great. And maybe they just had a great offensive plan.
Why you got all these excuses? But
did he cover up the Saints this year? Because I mean, in the playoffs,
we don't know. Alshon didn't.
They lost to the Saints.
I know, but that's because of Alshon, ain't because of Foles.
He threw two interceptions in that game.
Not when it mattered. Not on that game winning drive. All he had to do was go up to the field.
He threw the interception that turned the game around, Nick.
He was on a game winning drive. I can see it.
I've seen plenty of people say that 14-0, and then what happened? He threw an interception when they were going to go up 21-0. Oh, he threw an interception, and the Saints took over.
He throws an interception in every game he played.
I'm just saying, like, we can't have it one way and not the other.
I'm saying facts. He won a Super Bowl. He was Super Bowl MVP. What is Carson?
And the fact is,
we talk about a possible MVP that he could have.
And the fact is, he struggled in that game against the Saints, and he couldn't even close them out. And he struggled that whole game after he threw that interception. That boy wasn't the same. He was missing throws left and right. It's right there.
So you pay him and you, what, trade Foles?
I'm paying Wentz. The upside is there. The longevity is there. He's young.
Foles ain't that old either.
Can longevity with an injury-prone quarterback? That's an oxymoron, bro. That don't go together.
It's kind of scary.
I don't know. So we're saying the same thing about Watson. We're going to say the same thing about Watson, too?
No, Watson had an ACL. That's different.
That's true. So did Wentz had an ACL.
But he's been hurt back-to-back.
The back thing was probably something that he could have came back from easy. So we're just going to label the guy injury prone?
Wentz had reconstructive knee surgery. He tore two ligaments in his knee, if I'm not mistaken.
So we can say Watson is injury prone, too. We can say Andrew Luck is injury prone, too.
But Watson had a playoff game under his record, which he lost.
Right.
Not. Nick Foles had two playoff games under his – well, he had actually three because they lost to the Saints earlier when Foles was a quarterback under Chip Kelly's system.
And didn't he struggle against Chicago too?
Who, Foles?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't have a good game.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
A lot of teams struggling against Chicago.
I'm just saying, what y'all talking about?
We talking about playoffs.
But he made the play that needed to be thrown when he side-armed it to
You know who made the play? You know who made the play? Parkey made the play.
Parkey hit that field goal, we not talking right now.
Yeah.
We not talking right now.
You said if?
But that's...
So you drinking with me?
I'm just saying... Well, yeah, let's drink. We gonna drink up tonight. God damn it. I'm just saying, y'all... I mean, everybody's looking at Foles, but we have two games where he struggled.
I just...
And he lucked up and won
remember
one.
Remember what I... One of my main favorite quotes on the show is saying...
He believes in him, though.
With new information, you gotta change your... You gotta change your mindset.
Well, you need to be changing your mindset after those two games that he struggled in the postseason.
All I know is that at the end of the day, he can go home and say, I'm a Super Bowl MVP.
And so can Wentz. Oh, well, he can't say MVP. He can say, I won a Super Bowl.
He won that Super Bowl doing the same thing me and you doing, watching the game.
Hey, man, but we ain't got a ring. He got one. That's all I'm saying. The man, if he, look, I was slow to Wentz. I didn't believe in him. But I gotta give it up to the brother, man. The brother can play the game.
I agree. He can definitely.
He got it.
I'm not saying he's garbage. I'm just saying he ain't worth it. When it comes, because his contract.
Bro,
look,
that list again.
I name you the list.
If you can pay them, you can pay Wentz.
I know, but look
who's
how the
better
but,
than
but look
all
at those teams that are capped by that quarterback.
But that's where we go to. But we're going back to the market, man. There are just certain things you have to take.
And I'm saying change the market.
What, you can't do that.
Yeah,
the market only goes up, bro.
If Kirk
you
Cousins,
own real estate,
we gonna see with this Dak Prescott contract if it's gonna change the market.
All I'm saying is this: even if you got two or three quarterbacks, even if the first two don't set the new market, one of those guys is gonna set a new market. And that's the thing about professional sports; it's only going up. They make more revenue every single year.
Their salary cap
keeps going up. They have to spend the money in these CBAs. There are agreements that. There's a floor. You have to spend X amount of dollars. There's a mandatory floor that you have to spend.
But that all doesn't have to go to your quarterback.
I understand that. But understand, because the way that the NFL is set up with their free agency, the quarterback market is always is going to keep going up. There, I guarantee you in the next 3 to 5 years, there's going to be a $45 million quarterback. It is what it is. It's the business of football. And whether you agree with it or not, the salary cap percentage of what that type of contract takes up, it's the most important player on the field.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to pay some of these guys, even though you don't think it may not be worth it.
And there are a lot of some of those quarterbacks you named on the list are not, but it's what the market.
Most of them are. There's only two quarterbacks that I would pay the money that they deserve on this list:
but, Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers. Because Jimmy G,
Drew Brees
too. But Jimmy G, what? You talking about Carson Wentz?
Kirk Cousins, Jimmy G?
I was just about to say, I think he's overrated. I think he's going
to
be a horrible quarterback once he comes.
Yeah, I need to see more.
I was only
he's not worth that.
I'm trying to reserve just
because,
like, I
need to see more before I stamp the overrated.
But I want to say he's garbage right now. I just want to say, cuz I think unless he's in the Belichick system, he's not going to be successful.
Hey, whoa. You know who his OC?
I know Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
I know Kyle Shanahan.
And what did he do for Matt Ryan? Made him an MVP. Well, so I don't know about that yet.
I know there's this trend right now to go find rookie to try to win Super Bowls with rookie contracts, and I know that's cute right now because there are teams that have done it. But at the end of the day, you're playing Russian roulette trying to find a rookie quarterback that's going to be good.
Not really, because nowadays with offensive play calling,
the coaches, the way that they hiring coaches now is tailored to can what? You work with the young quarterback and look at what's his face from Cleveland. I don't think that he's ever going to get another chance to get a job because he's tainted. Hugh Douglas is tainted.
And I was going to go with the fact that the NFL is moving towards more of a college system based on the quarterback they're drafting. So the quarterback they draft, what success they had in college, that's the same system or the same plays that we're going to run.
Some concepts,
just got to get a coach that's willing to do that.
And I just think it's going to be short-lived because at the end of the day, you still need quarterbacks. You can't continue to put your organization at risk for a guy you have no proof that he can play the game. It's cute now, and teams are going to do it because, you know, it's a trend and it's a copycat league. But how long will it last and how successful will it be? It remains to be seen. So we'll see. Boogie, man.
Boogie. Hey, man.
Did you read that article that came out about him and his time in New Orleans?
Mm-mm.
He was actually hurt that, the article's headline was like, no one wanted, they shut the door, a lot of teams shut the door on me. Like, they hung the, there was a lot of phone calls. I reached out. He actually did a lot of reaching out, like, as far as to get on Golden State. Like, he talked to everybody from the top of the CEO to the coach.
But he called the general manager. What's the general manager
for Golden State? I can tell you the name. I see his face, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That long face.
Hayes, gosh, what's the guy's name? But man, yeah.
Yeah, he called Eric. Like, he was kind of upset that New Orleans didn't, like, try to re-sign him, because in the beginning it was just like, oh, yeah, we're going to keep you around and stuff. Like, yeah, don't worry about it. And it came time, they let him go.
And you know what? I don't understand it, because first of all, we are in a modern era and medicine has come so far that these type of injuries back in the day were devastating, potentially career ending. But now it's kind of give me a year, you'll be back about 80 to 90%. Give you about year and a half, you'll be back to 100%. And the type of talent that Boogie is, I understand the apprehension with his weight, because he's just a big burly type of guy. Like, he looks like a big ass bear out there. So I kind of understand that. But the type of talent he has old man game. I talk about old man game all the time. His game is not predicated on him running, jumping, and being flashy.
Yeah, it's not.
He can shoot. He can pass. He can dribble. You can play basketball. You can do them things right there.
I just think it's
right
more of like his reputation around the league. I think that's still what it is.
But you know what? Even still, you take flyers on super talented guys. He's uber talented. And even if he had a diminished athletic ability because of this injury, I still pay the man. And I'm not talking about, I wouldn't pay him, you know, like $30 million. I wouldn't pay him Steph Curry money. You know what I'm saying? But I'd give him 25. I definitely give him 25.
I like Boogie. I don't know. I have to see how he works with.
Man, you already know how he works.
They bringing him in
in 15, in 15 minutes. He had 14 points and 6 rebounds,
and it was easy.
And him, he fouled himself.
Him and KD
out.
Was running that pick and roll butter, man. I was like, how can you guard that when you got Steph and Clay? On opposite ends of the, you can't guard that.
And
crazy.
Think about the one position where like Golden State kind of was meh in. Now they just got one of the best centers in the league. Yes.
And a guy that fits what they want to do.
Yeah.
He can pick and pop.
He can pick and pop.
He can pick and roll. Yep. He can initiate the pick. Initiate the offense.
Yeah.
You can run pick and roll for him being the ball handler. How many centers? There's only very few centers that can do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then the decision making. That's the thing to me that separates or what makes a Golden State center great. Because I really feel that Andrew Bogut was great for Golden State. Not necessarily a great player, but what made him great was the fact that you can run high low with him. You can run high pick and roll. You can allow Andrew Bogut to be a decision maker in that offense. And it worked. Right? You run these rub picks off. He hands you the ball. He can make the cross court pass. Boogie can make every freaking play on the basketball court. And he has high IQ. He fits what they want to do.
You give him a max contract?
After what I've already seen, yes. He's back. Boogie's back.
I'll wait till the end of the season.
After two games?
I'll wait till
he's back.
Yeah, I'm waiting till the end of the season.
You know what? Because just like how I was on my home, it don't take much to notice what somebody can and can't do. Does he look limited to you? He looks limited by the minutes he's playing, but he don't look limited as a player. I'm paying him.
Well, I'm more interested in seeing how he plays within a championship mentality.
He's going to be fine.
I just still want to see how that plays out.
So if you go to State, who's walking and who you...
KD has to walk because you can't afford him. And so I would probably let Draymond go because...
So this KD, man's ain't no problem. I'm about to say, it's a
definite. So KD and Draymond going, you keeping Steph, Clay, and Boogie.
Yeah.
They can't afford Boogie either.
Yes, they can.
No, they can't.
If they talk him down a little bit,
isn't a first, second, or third team, so that means that he don't qualify for Supermax money, so they can't afford him.
No. The reason why they cannot afford him is because even if they let KD and Draymond go, right? Boogie's contract with Golden State wasn't 3 years, so that means that they don't.
Clay up for re-sign too, ain't he?
Clay is. However, they can go over the salary cap to re-sign him
because they got their bird rights.
Exactly. But with Boogie, right? He signed as a free agent. He He wasn't traded there. So Golden State cannot go over the salary cap to re-sign him. Remember, Andre Iguodala still gets paid decent money. Not about max contract.
$15 million.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sean Livingston gets paid decent money. They don't have, they would
so
literally have to
get interested for Golden State.
Exactly.
This offseason.
Because the only way that they would be able to sign Boogie, they would have a Miami Heat LeBron team. Meaning that you got Clay, you got Steph, you got Boogie, yeah, and you got a whole bunch of minimum contracts on this roster.
You gotta let go of that. I mean, you gotta let go of Iguodala and Livingston.
Exactly.
I'll roll the dice with that team.
I ain't doing that.
I'll roll the dice with that team.
I ain't doing that.
Why not? Who's your biggest competition in the West?
Is it a foregone conclusion that KD is leaving?
LeBron.
It's not necessarily foregone, but I just don't see how they pay him what he wants.
Sure off, Serena.
Oh. Well, no. Here's the thing.
They can pay him.
They'll pay him what he wants.
Held over the
luxury tax.
The luxury tax.
So that's the thing.
Four championships in 5 years, they'll do it.
Do you understand what that luxury tax is, like second or third year?
Crazy.
Yeah, into the billions.
That's
too much for a championship.
That's what I'm saying. This season is going to be very crucial for a multitude of reasons for Golden State, because if everything works out the way everybody predicts them winning another championship.
This dynasty is broken up,
and then,
regardless of if they win or not.
This specific one is, but you could try to, you know. To be honest, Miami, if it wasn't for the Chris Bosh injury, they probably wouldn't even be in a really bad predicament once LeBron left, because they still had Bosh and decent, solid role player with Dwayne Wade. I just think that if you have Steph Curry still in his prime, Klay Thompson still in his prime, and then Boogie still putting up good numbers, that's a really good – that's three all-stars still.
Yeah, that's still a good team.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah, the championship run is definitely over.
And Iggy, I'm going to say Iggy ain't really getting no younger, and so neither is Sean Livingston.
But they're not taking the
Does Iggy look like he's getting older? Not to me.
You don't.
He's still running, jumping, playing D out there.
Not in his limited minutes, but if you ask him to do a full 82-game season, it's
a wrap. But everybody know – look, man, it's not like Iggy's new to the league. We know what he is. Right. We know that he's not going to play 35 minutes a game.
Right.
We know that he's 17 to 25. Maybe 30, depending on the playoff game or the matchup. But we know what he is, and that's the reason why he gets paid what he paid. He is a championship role player, and he gets paid accordingly. Anywhere he goes, that's what he does for you. You're not asking him to be the guy or the second guy or even the third guy. We need you to be the cherry on top, bro. We need you to be the sprinkles. We need you to be the extra. But you ain't the cake. Nah, man, come on, man.
So over under 1 month or 2 months, Boogie and Draymond get into a fight.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
Draymond can't afford that. Every time
they're both on their best behavior now. Right. They're both trying to get
especially Boogie. Yeah. Especially Boogie.
Yeah, because it's like
I would say especially
exactly.
Draymond.
Yeah.
Draymond.
It's more
and that's
like,
why they're gonna get into
I think it's,
it.
I think it's more likely Boogie gets paid than Draymond gets paid.
I'm telling you, okay.
This offseason, yes, because Boogie's a way better player.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
Yeah, of course.
But Draymond has already said that he wants max money. And so Golden State don't have it to give or whatnot.
They have it.
They drew a line in the sand. They drew a line in the sand with that KD thing, suspending Draymond, and Draymond was with them. So that action that they did, that the front office did, showed Draymond. If I was Draymond's agent, I'd be like, hey, man.
Trade me.
Yeah, I don't think that they showed where their loyalties lie with that
deal. But here's the thing. So if we go down that rabbit hole, who does Draymond help? Like, because I don't think Draymond fits everywhere. I don't think Draymond's Draymond everywhere.
He's going to be out the league.
I was going to say that. I don't
fix that jumper.
I think he could bounce around in teams like Orlando, Atlanta, you know, like just making his money here and there. His little
Charlotte.
Yeah, you ain't lying. Michael Jordan would pay him. Man. But yeah, just like when I look at the landscape of the NBA, I don't know where he's that difference. Yeah.
Maybe go to Phoenix, maybe help them with their culture.
Nope. Mm-mm. Hell no, their culture is horrible. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing though. He does fit in Phoenix because he can play next to DeAndre Ayton.
He can.
His attitude.
Yeah, yeah, I was just about to say that. His attitude.
What do you think he'll Jimmy Butler the situation?
He is.
Huh?
You think he'll Jimmy Butler the situation if you went to Phoenix?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Too much of a divide.
Yeah.
Dividing that. That level of experience.
But I don't think that there's a problem with
at this point, man, think about it.
But here's the thing though. We know that Wiggins is soft. Let's just be honest, right? Because he don't play aggressive. You don't play aggressive, you ain't tough guy. You a soft guy.
He teases you too because he's so talented.
Exactly.
He is.
Karl Towns ain't soft, but he's mentally soft.
What is the difference?
He's soft.
No, because Karl Towns, Karl Towns plays the game of basketball aggressively.
No, he does not. Not in that last year's playoffs?
And we've talked about that. Nick, you act like you brand new to the show. A lot of Thibodeau. That wasn't a lot of him. That was a lot of Thibodeau. But we're not going to backtrack. We're going to talk about today. Karl Anthony Towns goes at his competition. He goes at Embiid. He goes at other bigs. He tries to be the best player. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you are mentally strong just because you are aggressive. But Wiggins is mentally weak and physically weak. And Kat is mentally weak. Jimmy Butler can dominate that situation where I don't put that same onus on Devin Booker. I think Devin Booker got a lot of dog in him. I don't think that you can just talk to Devin Booker no type of way. You know what I'm saying?
Devin Booker.
If Draymond comes to that team and tries to challenge Devin Booker, he gonna score 60, bruh. Like he's the type of guy that you want to talk smack to.
You saw what he did to Boston last. Was that Boston last
year? Yeah, 71
points.
Come on. Like I don't think he's a weak guy like that. Mm-mm. DeAndre Ayton? Mm-mm. I don't know. Yes. You know, the jury's still.
Yeah, nah, he's not.
He's not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nah, they'll break him down. Yeah, Draymond and eat him alive.
Yeah. So you know, that's why I think it'll work more so in Phoenix. But outside of that, just from a fit perspective, how he plays, Phoenix is the only team I could think of off the top of. Maybe Houston. If
that would be a good fit.
You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing, though. How would that really be a good fit? Because they run primarily isolation for James Harden.
I think in Denver he would be a good fit, too.
I definitely think he would be a good fit in Denver because they don't need a scorer at the four like that.
Yeah, you could take Paul Millsap out and have him and Jokic.
But here's the thing, though, right? Like, and I know we kind of jump in a little bit, but with Denver – people, guess the forgotten man on that squad, and it ain't who you gonna say first, Ken.
Gary Harris.
Nope.
But Jamal Murray.
Nope. Love him though.
Oh, you talking about Isaiah Thomas?
Nope. That's who I thought you was gonna say first.
The rookie. That's, yes, the rookie.
Michael Porter Jr.
I forgot all about him.
I seen this guy. He is the real deal.
He would have been the first pick if he didn't get hurt. He would have been the first pick.
Yeah, because he dropped to 12, didn't he?
13.
Damn. Yeah.
He is the real deal. And if he could come back even at 90%, that's a championship team. That's a championship team. Because that boy Jokic, he might be the best in an NBA. Well, my bad, Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid's the best center. But I don't think there's a more skillful center than Jokic because he has a better jumper than Joel.
I think so.
And he's a better passer than Joel.
I think so.
It sounds like you want to say he's better than Joel.
Joel just has more athletic ability.
And more offensive upside.
Yep, and he's a better defender. Mm-hmm. So that's the only reason why I'm holding it back. But Jokic, man, that oh my God! Like, have you seen his passing?
I've seen it.
That dude's amazing. Yeah. You get a bona fide score. Look, Michael Porter Jr., when healthy, he is a young Melo.
They come.
And better than Melo.
I wouldn't even say he's a Melo, but I think that he got games.
He do.
I know you don't want to talk about him. Melo.
He going to L.A. Hey, we going. Back.
You going to L.A.? You think so?
Nah.
Yes, that's what they saying he's going.
I think that's his last saving grace.
I don't like it.
Me neither.
I don't like it either.
Out the league, Nick. He's out the league.
He's going
out the league.
Like he going to L.A.
The league's going to save him, man. I think they're going to try to reach out and try to save his reputation.
You know, I give you that. If there is a move for Melo, because isn't it interesting that all of a sudden there's all this interest in Carmelo when you could have freaking traded for Carmelo? You could have had Carmelo. Any team in the NBA that wanted Carmelo could have been had him. All of a sudden there's all this interest. No, I agree that LeBron and the Lakers will probably sign him. I don't like it because you're taking minutes away from guys that need minutes right now.
Ooh.
And he's not. We're not gonna go there. and he doesn't put him over the top for like nothing. It. Don't like it at all. This is literally a lifesaver for him. But by LeBron.
We didn't expect that much from the Lakers this season anyway. Like a deep run.
No, but here's the thing.
I was expecting a deep run.
But what do we consider deep? Second round is deep?
Yeah.
I consider everybody except they can beat everybody except when fully loaded, they can beat everybody except Golden State.
Ah, that's false. You think they can beat Denver in seven games?
I think so, yeah. Denver don't have no experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
LeBron will take over. They don't have nobody for LeBron.
Exactly. Yes.
LeBron will just take over. Yeah.
You think they can be OKC in seven games?
Yes. Absolutely. Because they'll self-destruct.
No, yeah.
OKC will self-destruct.
I like, what's his name? Who's the guy they got that came from Atlanta?
Schroeder.
I like when he has the ball, like when it's them two, because he can be their playmaker.
We understand.
And he shoots better than him, obviously.
Of course. But we've seen in crunch situations what Russell is still going to do. They will self-implode. That's
100% agree.
Yeah, they'll beat themselves. Yeah. Houston?
No.
James Harden is unproven
fully
in the playoffs.
Fully healthy Houston?
No. Unproven in the playoffs.
No. James Harden is going to nut up in game five, six, or seven. And he's proven all three. The last past 2 years. And then losing that stinker against the San Antonio Spurs the year before last and then go and just make it rain at the strip club.
I think Harden going to gas out. He's going to gas out by the time the playoffs come.
And then Chris Paul, he's declining. Or what?
Well, he's been declining.
He better thank his agent because, man, they got away with Highway Robert.
He always gets hurt when playoff time starts.
But every you know what? Time. But this might be a good omen. He got hurt before the playoffs. I'm just saying.
I think the Lakers can beat everybody in the West except Golden State. If they can avoid Golden State.
I think you were highly underestimating the West.
Come on.
In a seven-game series, LeBron.
I ain't worried about LeBron. Ready. I'm talking about the cast. Like,
look at the guys last year.
We got to look at matchups.
Hold on.
That's the East.
But it's still the same cast.
No, it's not.
I like Ingram. I definitely like Kuzma. I like Lonzo Ball. And they're growing right now. Every month they're getting better and better. I like Josh Hart.
Ingram not showing his growth.
I like this
right
Zubac.
Now.
Everybody's going to continue to get better and better. And by the
right
playoffs,
now.
They should be a better.
But I put it to you like this. For the Lakers to make the second round of the playoffs, they can't finish below sixth. They got to finish six or better. Because you start finishing seven or eight, and you're going to play either Denver or Golden State, it's a wrap in the first round.
They're going to most likely be seven or eight. Because Lonzo's out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's still out
Rondo
for... I don't know when LeBron coming back. Rondo.
Next week. He'll be back next week.
Ooh.
LeBron
will be back when he be back.
He gonna come back after Austin.
There ain't no timetable for LeBron.
I think
told you he taking
an
extra. I told you. I said LeBron.
Did you not see that quote? There was a quote in the article that said like LeBron. If the playoffs started today, he'll be playing. That tells you that right now he don't give a damn about
that's what I'm saying.
How y'all feel.
I told y'all that last week. I think
that y'all are too high on Denver in the playoffs. I'm sorry.
Team wise.
As a team, they're really, really good. In the playoffs, we know what they are. Like, they're not gonna do much with it. You know,
I'll take
the Lakers.
But
how do we know that? We haven't seen them.
We saw it last year.
Who?
Didn't Denver make
They didn't.
Well,
I think that's why they had a lottery pick and they picked Michael Porter Jr.
Wasn't it like them in Minnesota? They played that last game to see who could.
Yeah,
it was like a win and get in.
Yeah, Minnesota.
And in order for them to even get to that point, they had to win like damn near all their games. So
and they was on a hot streak towards the end of the season.
Right,
no experience.
Do you think Portland can beat the Lakers in a playoff series?
No.
Possibly.
No.
Possibly.
I think it's possible.
No.
They don't have enough talent.
No. Did you see what the New Orleans Pelicans did to straight handicap Damian Lillard?
But that's not the same squad now. That's not the same squad. They ain't got Rondo no more. So that's one less guy.
They still got
Drew.
Drew Holiday, though.
I got you.
The clamps on.
He did.
He clank.
Both of them put the clamps on both of them. All right. So what about... what was my other team?
I'm sorry. I'm high on the Lakers, but not against Golden State.
Nah, hell no. Clippers is a whole bunch of others.
They coming back to reality.
Tobias Harris is having a good year.
He is, but that's a whole bunch of others. Like I put it to you like this. You put one superstar on that team, that's a damn good team. But without a superstar, they ain't making no noise. Even if they make the playoffs, they might get swept. You look, you need superstars in the playoffs to take over. And as good as Tobias Harris is and is playing currently, bro, I can't rely on you more than two games.
Yeah. Playoffs is a different game. You got to beat a team four times out of and you are game teams are game plan for during the playoffs. And so stuff that you like to do, they lock it in and try to take it away.
What about Utah? You think Utah could beat the Lakers?
I like Utah. Well, that team, okay.
I think they can.
Now, I'm a little iffy. Yeah, that team, I think that that will probably give them a run for the money. I'm high on Utah.
Yep.
I am. But everybody else, Portland, Clippers, Denver,
Rockets, OKC. Yeah, I'm not with it.
I see the Lakers beating all of them. But Utah, I'm a little iffy about Golden State then.
Or the two teams. Obviously, Golden State, but Utah is that other squad.
Utah.
I got you. Yeah. I'm with that assessment.
I'll tell you one thing, and obviously this is something that it was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips, and I wanted everything to be at, you know, my threshold. I wanted to be the guy that led us to championship. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that. And, you know, the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for many people. And Bron was one of those guys that came to Cleveland and tried to really show us what it's like to win a championship. And it was hard for him. And sometimes getting the most out of the group, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And like I said, only few are meant for it or chosen for it. And, you know, I feel like the best person to call was him because, you know, he's been in the situation. You know, he's been there with me where I've been the young guy of, you know, being a 22-year-old kid and, you know, wanting everything. He wanted everything right now, you know, coming off an all-star year starting and then, you know, this heck of a presence comes back and now I got to adjust my game to this guy. And, you know, you take it personal, but at the end of the day, he just wants what's best and he has a legacy he wants to leave and he has a window he wants to capture. So I think what that brought me back to is like, all right, how do I get the best out of this group of the success they had last year and then helping them realize what it takes to win a championship.
All right, what y'all make of Kyrie's apology, man? Kyrie, manning up.
I thought it was big of him.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
it shows leadership.
There's other analysts that say it was kind of like
cynical.
Yeah,
I take it for face value. And the reason why I have to take it for face value is because we know Kyrie was in those trenches with LeBron and we know that they had turmoil and we know it wasn't always all peaches and cream. And I think when we look at the situation that Kyrie is in, even though he's kind of been going back and forth with his younger guys, we see the position that he's in, right? And sometimes that's when you're in a position, it's kind of reflective of yourself. You see yourself in that situation. And I think he just had that moment. It's like, damn, you know what? Everything that I'm trying to help these guys overcome is the same thing I was giving to Bron. So I just think he had a come to Jesus moment. I think he realized it. And I also think that, you know, for Kyrie is very interesting the situation he's in because these guys are literally a quarter away from making the finals, you know, and as much as Kyrie is probably trying to get on these guys to make them understand that it's every day, we can't have bad losses, right? And what has Kyrie done since? He looked like the damn MVP. You know what I'm saying? He came back 40-point game after those comments. He came back and followed that up with like, the first game was 38 and like 17 or 11 and
18 assists.
No, 18 assists. Yeah, 18. And then he came back with 38, 11 and 7, you know, and then what he did to the damn Hawks. Oh my God. Like he stepped up. So now he is showing you. He's not just talking it no more. So for me, I feel it was definitely heartfelt. I think it was real. I don't think there was anything cynical about that.
Has it been showing you all year, though?
No, because Kyrie has been inconsistent as well.
He has, especially at the beginning of the
and
year.
And I think
he
this
was out of shape. He looked out of shape.
I think with his recent run, they've been, what, like 7-3 in the last 10 or something like that? But if you look at the cat, like Tatum, there's been games where he's only at 6 points and like here and there.
They're going to have to make some moves before that trade deadline.
Well, maybe, but it's just more of like all these young boys been saying, you haven't been doing this, you haven't been doing that, Kyrie, for all the stuff you've been talking, but at least he's still performing. Like at the end of the day,
he is.
This is all about wins and losses at the end of the day. Like,
exactly.
What are you doing to contribute to that?
And I think that, you know, a lot of people saw the shortened version of what Kyrie said, right? I don't know how many of y'all have watched the long version of what Kyrie said. And Kyrie put a lot of context to it where he was talking about when you look at veteran players, right, that have been in the league 10, 12, 11 years, 15 years plus, they know. This is my last run. Every day in practice, every moment is about this championship. Yep. I'm not worried about 2 years down the line. I'm not worried about my shots. I'm worried about what the game plan is and what we got to do to execute to win. And come on, let's be honest. Terry Rozier has fallen off of a cliff, right? Because he's no longer the guy. So he's not as engaged into what it takes to win a championship. You look at Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Yep.
Now, they had to take steps back because Kyrie's Kyrie, but then you got to figure out what's the little nitty gritty things that's going to make you guys a championship team. First of all, they don't have the experience to understand what that is, and second of all, they're just young.
They're going to have to make moves. They're going to have to make moves.
And I don't think they're happy either.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
you know what, Brown? Me and you, we here with the basketball because I said that. I've been saying that.
They're gonna have to move some people.
The only thing that's gonna fix the Celtics is a trade.
Yep.
And here's the thing: even if they don't do it this season, this off season,
yeah,
if the Lakers don't make that AD move, you gotta go make that AD move. But it's contingent to me. But it's contingent on Kyrie though, because I'm not making the AD move if I'm the Celtics if Kyrie walks to the Lakers or elsewhere. I'm just not trading. Now I'm sticking with my young horses and we're going to re-up. And we just gonna move forward.
And I just say you wait to the end of the season because at first I was saying maybe wait till like towards the All-Star break if things are looking bad, but things are looking better. And we still have not seen a full season of this team together, like fully better. Healthy.
It is better,
it's
Ken. Better. You know
no,
why?
Not.
Because here's the thing. I think that the difference with how they're playing currently is that we all know Kyrie's a scoring dynamo. You can't guard Kyrie. When you bust up Kawhi Leonard like that, bruh, you cannot be stopped. I don't care
we know that.
He's an ultimate closer.
Ultimate closer. But the difference in the game, 18 assists, 11 assists, he's getting now double-digit assists. That's what they need from him. The points, we know that that's a given. When you go get Kyrie, he's going to get you buckets. It's the other stuff that Kyrie needs to do as this quote-unquote leader, right? He need to get other guys involved, right? What does LeBron do? LeBron get everybody involved in the first two and a half, maybe three quarters, sometimes even the beginning of the fourth. And when it's closing time, yeah, he'll make the right play and he'll pass it, but he gets aggressive.
Here's
right?
why I say it's not better. It's still all about Kyrie.
Yeah,
I was going to say the same thing. Still all about
good
Kyrie.
Point. Good
why,
point.
Why wouldn't it? It's kind of like the Gilbert Arenas effect. You know, you can score all those points and you have all those assists, but it's still all about Kyrie.
What's wrong with that? Why? What team
is all about LeBron?
What team isn't all about their star player?
Because that's been the problem with the Celtics this year.
Yeah,
is that it's been all about Kyrie.
But in that right, like Kyrie has figured out. Look, James Harden is the player that's used most in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that nobody assists to James Harden?
Yeah,
James Harden makes all the assists out.
Right.
And
crazy.
When they started this run, they were out of the playoffs, right? And now they're number five in the West. Kyrie is figuring out the assist part of his game. When you look at this run, look at the assist numbers. There's a correlation there because he has the ball so much.
I think that that's a little bit of a smoke and mirrors. That's what I'm thinking.
So why don't we say the same thing about LeBron?
Because LeBron's been doing that since day one.
Yeah, because Kyrie is up for a deal. And I think that Danny Ainge is in for he's in a real predicament because Kyrie, I think that all of this is already sort of announced. I think that Danny Ainge probably might have pulled Kyrie aside and be like, man, we want you to lead our franchise. And so I'm thinking if they move Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier or whatnot, they're signaling to Kyrie that they know that Kyrie is going to stay to get that super
1,000%
or whatnot. And so I'm thinking that they're going to it's all about Kyrie. And I think that Kyrie is just doing what he needs to do to be an example to everybody else. But I think that him showing that he can just pass the ball, I think he's just doing it right now just because he's just proving to be a good leader.
Kyrie is masking the problems that are still there.
Exactly.
He's perfume.
Yeah.
The you know, and he's propelling them. You know, you mentioned Kobe. He's doing his Kobe thing.
But
he's
going to propel them to win. But my thing is, there's always problems on every LeBron team that he's been on, right? It's never like an easy way. Like there's no, it's not a big camaraderie. Like
maybe it ain't Golden State.
Yeah, it's not like that. Fluid. It's always there's issues. There's passive aggressive tone. Everything that Kyrie was doing, he learned that from LeBron. So
and Kobe.
So when we talk about it's all about, like he's their like I said in the chat, he's their best player. He's their most important player.
Without him,
they're not doing anything.
Was he like this last year?
He was hurt.
He got humbled last year because they made it all.
Before he got hurt. Did we see this from Kyrie last year before he got hurt?
Didn't they have like a 17-game win streak?
I'm talking about this attitude, this way that he's carrying himself.
You know why? Ken, you know what the difference is expectation. Last season, the Boston Celtics, even fully healthy, were not necessarily expected to win a championship. Yeah, and the fact that they got within a quarter of doing so, that means that this season – it's championship or bust. And it's not necessarily that they got to win it because we know the juggernaut that's on the other side of that.
But they gotta get
However,
there.
They got to get there because Kyrie's supposed to put you over the top, right?
Right.
Like we were just talking about how Iguodala and Draymond Green, how do those guys put you over the top? Oh, Kyrie's supposed to put you over the top.
Kyrie and Gordon Hayward was what they were saying.
Before.
We gave up on that dream. All right.
Gordon Hayward's not all the way back either.
They stepped on the court.
Yes. It was Gordon Hayward and Kyrie. Yes, you are 100% right. And also with obviously a different scenario, but similarly gruesome, we're just seeing now Paul George tap into what Paul George truly was. And we're talking about 2-3 years later. So I don't know if that's going to be the same timetable for Gordon Hayward. However, remove Gordon Hayward from the equation. If you add Kyrie to that team last year, you are expected for them to make the championship round.
They went in that series in six.
No, I don't know about that. It is LeBron.
I don't think it goes against
I think it goes seven, but I think that Kyrie closes it. I think that's what the difference is. So now you insert Kyrie with a semi-healthy Gordon Hayward. The expectation is to make the championship.
I agree. But this year, based on everything that they've been doing, when I told you guys that something wasn't right with this team, and it just took a while for it to show, and it's still there. And I think Kyrie, we had a game where Jason Tatum had 0 points, I think, or two.
Whose fault is that?
I'm just saying the problems are not
but
fixed.
But at the end of the day, who's like we keep on blaming him for other people's shortcomings.
No. We're not blaming them for the shortcomings. That to me says that their shortcomings are still there. They haven't been fixed. Other players still are not producing because they are not at a point where they are comfortable with playing with Kyrie.
But you know what though, Ken? If you're calling Kyrie perfume, LeBron must be the strongest cologne in the motherfucking room, bro, because LeBron masks a lot of stuff. And the greatest players mask a lot of deficiencies on that basketball team. And that, and to your point, right? You're making my point. Kyrie is masking a lot of that stuff. And that's the definition of Kyrie showing his greatness.
But that's not how this team is supposed to function.
But you're remembering the team that didn't have Kyrie or you're looking at the team like that was the team they were supposed to be.
I'm looking at the team that's not what they were supposed to be. Kyrie.
That was a team off the fly.
No. And that was a team great by committee. Right, we know that the NBA is based off of superstars.
And let's not forget the head coach too. Everybody's
of course,
going for
it. Of course, 1,000%. However, we know in basketball you have to have superstars. And was as good as Jason Tatum was he a superstar?
Everybody was saying he was. Yes,
he was ascending to be that. He showed the promise that you know what, at 3 to 5, he's going to be a guy
that you said was the most important player
coming
on this team.
Into the season because early in the season. As Kyrie
was
struggling.
But that was also based off what he did last year.
But the thing is, no one knew what Jason Tatum was going to be when he came out that draft. Everybody was looking at Fultz. Everybody was looking at Lonzo, all the other players, except even though Tatum was a top 5 pick, nobody really cared about him. You know, he came out of Duke. But when he showed in the playoffs, because it wasn't in regular season.
It was during the regular season.
It started in the regular season, but it was sweeter
in the
playoffs.
And it started when Kyrie got hurt. And it started when he was the number two with Kyrie, when he stepped up when Gordon Hayward got hurt.
Then why is he not stepping up now? What's up
because
with this
he's
shit?
Not. That, but that's what I'm saying. He's not happy.
He don't have the same opportunity.
He's not happy. Jaylen Brown. He's just. Not happy. Jaylen Brown's not happy. That whole team is not together.
Minutes has been stripped since.
They are not Golden State. Yeah.
Because they're not producing.
They are not Golden State. Period.
No one is. I'm talking about this team right now.
They were last year. They got along last year. They had chemistry last year.
Jason Tatum is still averaging 16 points a game. He's still, but however, with that being said, he's still inconsistent with his gameplay. You can't ask me to sacrifice my game if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing as my number two. There's certain games where he don't show up. That's not Kyrie's fault. Kyrie's still getting out double-digit assists, but you still under 10
points. It is Kyrie's fault. He's creating the friction on the team. He's lashing out at everybody. And everybody's looking at him like, bro, we went to the Eastern Conference Finals without you. Like, you know, so.
Did you win, though?
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
Because if they
it doesn't matter to them.
No, it doesn't matter to them.
And that's what I'm saying.
All right. But that's part of the inexperience and youthfulness of that roster.
So now we circle back to Kyrie being the problem on that team because he's.
But hold on, Kent. You're acting like you don't want the Kyrie problem. Every coach in this NBA wants a problem like Brad Stevens and the Celtics have.
I don't know.
You are tripping.
I don't know.
They have a talent problem. They got too damn much.
They got a Kyrie problem.
Nah, they got a talent problem.
Bro, there's a lot of talent on there.
It's a lot of young egos. It's a lot of establishment, Ken.
And Kyrie isn't helping with that.
Hold on. But you have to understand that when you are a young player and you're playing for that first contract, there's a lot that goes into that. And they feel that they're starting to feel the pressure. They're feeling the expectation of a championship and also to adjust to a great player. Look, Ken, let's be honest. You add any great player to any roster, there's going to be somewhat of an adjustment.
There wasn't an adjustment last year. We have evidence of them functioning at a high level last year.
With and without Kyrie.
That's why they're going to have to trade.
Exactly. So this year, all of a sudden, Kyrie is running everybody crazy.
But those guys ain't doing, to Nick's point, those guys ain't doing what they were doing during that 17-game winning streak in the regular season.
Okay, so it's Brad Stevens then.
Why are you blaming everybody but the youngsters?
Exactly, that's what I was about to say.
Because he's the coach, and Steve Kerr, when they have friction in Golden State, doesn't he get the ship right? Does he get everything back in one accord?
Does the ship not look better in Boston right now?
No. That's like, what I'm saying.
I'm saying that
Kyrie Irving is masking the problems that still exist, and what you guys are looking at are the 7-3 record. The 7-3 record is manifest itself as everything is correct.
Let me ask you something about Golden State, right? Because you keep referencing that team. When Steve Kerr got there, was that a veteran team or was that a young team? They were still young, but they were young veterans, right? They were so much so veterans that they were selfless at that point in time in their career. Iggy said, yeah, I'll come off the bench for you, coach. Yeah, we'll start Draymond, coach. Yeah, I'll play less minutes, coach. I'll do whatever you need, coach. And Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Terry Rozier are not in that place in their career. They still want to eat because they ain't paid yet, Ken.
They were there last year.
And also on top of
that. Y'all are missing something. Coming into the season, at the beginning of the year, Kyrie announced that he will sign his extension if, quote unquote, they will have him. Why did Kyrie make that statement?
Because he's going to New York.
No. I don't think that he's going to New York. I think that the psychology is like, man, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals without me or whatnot. They did not offer a contract to, or Danny Ainge did not offer a contract to Kyrie Irving.
You're making a good point.
Last season. So Kyrie Irving is like, man, damn, will he even offer me that contract? Because he just automatically said that he will sign the extension if they will have him. And so he's trying to
set his place in the organization or whatnot.
I thought he said that it would be foolish of me to.
No, he said he will sign at a pep rally. He said I will sign an extension.
No, but last year he said it'll be foolish for me to give up that much money to sign the extension than to just be a free agent and re-sign with the team.
But then his tune changed though.
Well, that's the case.
That's what I'm saying. His tune
changed.
Now all of a sudden he wants to sign the extension or whatnot, and so now he's trying to find his place right now within the organization. So he's trying to be number one in the pecking.
That's a good ass.
But he's always changed his tune in press conferences. There was times in Cleveland when he said, "I'm going to stay here. Like it's great to have LeBron." Then 2 years later, he's out.
But that's why nobody believed when he said it. But him not getting that extension
is telling. An offer.
I didn't even think about that. Plus, for me, hearing it now with everything that we've seen, if they had me, sticks out. Because maybe they're looking at what I said a few minutes ago.
They made it to the finals without him. Yeah, so I'm like, man.
So he wants that money.
See?
So with the angle that y'all coming from, right, we know that Danny Ainge is a very calculated GM. There's no way he lets him walk for zero.
I think it is. I think that my gut feeling is that Jaylen Brown, I think that he's shopping Hayward, Brown, and Rozier. And I think that he's going to build the team around Kyrie Irving, and they're going to try to make a run with the
But here's the thing. Okay. And I agree, because that's been my sentiment, right? Like, you got to get rid of those three guys in particular, right? And I think that's what rights the ship, because you got to bring back veterans that are selfless, not these young guys that want to eat because they haven't been paid yet, right? So the thing is that's a lot of talent, and obviously they have a lot of draft picks. They can't, because of rules or whatever. I'm not a freaking NBA insider, but I know that the Celtics cannot make a trade for AD this year.
And I know that that's probably causing Danny Ainge to be sleepless at night.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he know he can go get him right now.
He can go get him right now. He has the assets to do it right now, but he can't or whatnot. And I know he's kicking himself over signing Gordon Hayward because of the ascendance of Jason Tatum or whatnot. But the summertime, it's going to be really, really interesting. It's going to be really, really interesting. See, because if they move off of Jaylen Brown and them, they're going to just build a team around Kyrie.
1,000%. So do you see this trade happening pre-trade deadline or in the summertime? Because I think that has a lot.
To signal to Kyrie that we want you to stay, they're moving. If they move Jaylen Brown and Rozier, I think that Kyrie is already, they've already probably arranged everything to give Kyrie the max.
No, 1,000%. But what I'm saying is what do you get back in return? Because to me, and my proposition in that similar trade, I'm getting AD. You know what I'm saying? But you can't trade for AD or a player like AD right now. Mm-hmm. So if you do trade him, what do you get in return that helps this team now and in the future?
That's Danny Ainge, because what does Boston have to offer or whatnot? Because they have Rozier. They can give him Jaylen Brown. They can give him draft picks. They probably don't want the Gordon Hayward contract or whatnot.
Of course, but here's the thing. If New Orleans, because New Orleans is one of those teams that you just can't all the way tank because you're such a small market. You still got to be somewhat relevant, right? So that's the reason why I think they take on a Gordon Hayward type contract. And then you got to make the money right. Right. Hey, Ken, can you do me a favor and check the reason why Boston cannot trade for Anthony Davis right now? Because I know there's a clause or something.
Yeah, because of Kyrie, because they had traded for Kyrie. And there's some stipulation within the rule that once you trade for a max level type player, you can't do it again.
Back to back seasons.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You can't. I don't know if it's back to back seasons, but they had made a trade for Kyrie, which was a marquee player. And they were saying that they limited teams to doing that to overstack their teams or whatnot. Mm. So you can only do one or whatnot. And then the other person has to sign via free agency.
Yeah.
You can't do it via trade.
So it says NBA teams cannot trade for more than one player who has signed an extension under the Rose Rule.
Mm.
A limitation that is only applicable when the players are still on their Rose Rule extensions.
Is that Anthony Davis? Because he signed the extension in New Orleans?
Yep. That's the reason. And because they already traded for Kyrie and he's on that type of contract extension.
Yeah.
Wow. So here's the thing, because I 100% agree that those are the three guys they got to move. And it does place Kyrie as the number one in their hierarchy. And obviously that means that they are going to offer him a max. But if you're going to trade those three guys, because that's a lot of talent, and you also have draft picks, you can't get back two or three veterans.
No, you can't.
You got to get something special in return. So again, if the Lakers don't make the trade for AD in season, if I'm New Orleans, I think that
they will.
Who, that the Lakers will?
Who are they giving up?
Well, no, because I think that LeBron, a lot of LA fans will probably blame LeBron and be like, man, this dude is coming over here and giving away all our young talent. We better win a championship. I don't think that he wants that type of pressure on him, because everybody would be pointing squarely at LeBron. As far as the Lakers, I think that, AD might not be there, because if the Lakers do decide to give away their core, if they continue to lose, then AD not even going to be there. Then I guess that clears the decks for Boston to be like, man, well, we can't get AD, so we might as well try to move these players to see. Well, dang, they probably might just wait till the summertime.
See, and that's what I'm saying. Because if you're going to give up talent, what am I going to get in return that's going to get me over the hump?
The only player that
does that for that roster is AD. Yeah. There's nobody else. So unless somebody trades for AD now, I think AD goes to Boston in the trade in the summertime. Especially if their draft picks are heavily protected this year, especially if they get one or two up there. Yeah. Like, you get two top five picks and you can package that up with those three guys.
Yeah.
So, if I'm New Orleans, I'm definitely making that deal.
You're right. You are definitely right. Because if it goes to the summertime, then the Lakers,
they're out of there.
So moving toward the Lakers, they really don't. It's gonna be back to back. We ain't gonna get nobody.
I think that's the domino that happens. If they don't trade for AD right now, and if I'm New Orleans, I don't really like what the Lakers have to offer.
They're giving you broken pieces.
Exactly.
At this point.
Yeah. Lonzo,
if it gets to the summertime,
Kuzma,
Boston can flat out offer more.
They don't have.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. The Lakers don't. And that's what I was saying in the beginning of the season when they got LeBron. It was just like. As great as he is, he picked the wrong city, in my opinion.
I think so,
because he's in a no-win situation. If he went to Philly,
they cut that roster to try to get Anthony Davis.
It's going
to
be him and Davis.
But here's the thing.
And the Lakers fans are going to be like, man, you gave away our young core?
Yep.
Well, I don't think the core was
we're not winning
still? I think AD is better than the core overall. I just think that with the team, you still need to fill out the roster. You got eight players that you got to fill out. And it's just like, it's not going to be enough to challenge anybody.
You know what? I don't know. Why is everybody so fantasized over AD going to the Lakers? I don't know.
Because that's all they got.
AD is the best available player.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly,
and then here's the thing, though. If they do gut the roster and they get rid of all of their youngins, and then obviously they have a whole bunch of expiring contracts, they can still go sign Klay Thompson. You can go trade for AD. You can still sign Klay. And then, just like I said, what would happen in Golden State, you'd have those three guys with a whole bunch of minimum contracts.
But does Klay give up what he already has in Golden State to do a flyer with LeBron and AD?
Mm-mm. I don't think that the Warriors are going to get. I think that he's resigning.
Yeah, I definitely think Klay is resigning. However, I'm just saying that the Lakers would offer him in that situation.
The only scenario where I see that working out, as far as like them getting another star, is like if Kawhi just be like, you know what, I'll play with y'all. But I doubt he goes over there.
Let us know what you guys think, man. Is it Kyrie? Is it the youngins? You know, is it Brad Stevens?
You saying that he's the stink and the deodorant, basically. I've never heard anybody say that.
Oh man, still a lot of other stuff that we didn't get a chance to touch on. Real quick, who won? Because you got quiet.
The Pacquiao AB party,
Serena.
Serena lost, man. She let old girl come back. Serena was up on a third set, 5-1. All she had to do was win one more game. Girl came back and won and beat her. So Serena's out of the quarterfinals. So we got to wait for French Open.
And the Manny AB thing?
Yeah, I don't know what AB was smoking.
Man, this is why it's hard to rep Cincinnati sometimes.
And now I think it's such a waste of talent, man. He is. Such a waste of talent.
You know what the downfall of his? Remember when Jay-Z tried to sign him to Roc Nation Sports and he turned it down?
He turned it down,
because he thought it was too little money.
Yeah.
Who doesn't win with Jay-Z?
Right, I know. But I'm just saying, this talent, I'm talking about just boxing.
But no, yeah, but he's, like, yeah.
Such a waste of talent, man.
And he was getting...
Man, like, Manny was on him. Manny was on him. He was stalking him the entire fight. I thought he was about to actually, like, TKO him in the eighth. Yeah. I
think he stumbled him a bunch of times.
Yeah. And I'm just like, AB, man, you just
all talk.
Yeah, just all talk. But he got the skills, though. That's what's so sad about it. Like, this dude has the skill. The skill set to be.
He writing those wolf tickets.
Right, man. I'm like... I know. So I'm like, man,
humbled.
Yeah, Manny clearly won. Manny clearly won.
I think he was discombobulated when he said, I won the fight. Everybody know.
I think he was like, what the hell?
I think he got too many punches to the head.
I only gave AB like 3 rounds. I had Pacquiao winning 9 out of 12, 9 to 3 rounds.
You thought Manny was going to win going into the fight?
No, I thought Youth was going to be kind of in AB's favor.
I thought Manny was going to win because I
did.
Broner, he doesn't show up. To me, he doesn't show up for those type of games.
Yeah, he's not a detailed guy.
He's got to be a detailed guy. Yeah,
because I think that skillfully, he had everything that Mayweather had skillfully.
Skillfully,
and just athletic, that athletic prowess, he had that.
Yeah.
But the difference was in the details, man.
Yep. I mean, him and Mayweather is like night and day.
Night and day.
Like you know, when you have boxing veterans they went to like a Mayweather camp, like in his recent, like maybe last 3 or 4 fights, they were like, this dude trains like he's still broke. Like, here is this guy is considered the best ever. And when he trains, it's like they say this guy, they say they've never seen nothing like this before. This dude trained like he is, like he's never won nothing.
They say AB stand for all bark.
I mean, pretty much, man. But yeah, Pacquiao, Pacquiao clearly controlled the fight. I don't know what AB was talking about. He controlled the fight. It was one round where AB only threw 8 punches, dude. He only threw 8 punches. And it's like, dude, you cannot think you clearly won this fight, like, at all. Like,
it's hard to support.
I think it's a wrap
for him.
I think it's a wrap for him, man. I think so too. I think this was his only pay-per-view fight, I believe. I think of his
career.
That's
the thing. He keeps squandering these moments. Like, all right, you asking for more money and more press and all that, but you lose.
I think Deshaun Porter was a pay-per-view fight. Let me correct that. I think when he fought,
and Sean he lost Porter, to him too, right? Mm-hmm.
Lost to Sean Porter too. Yeah, it's just like this dude had the potential, man. But nope. But I've been telling y'all who the potentials. Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence.
Yeah, Terrence Crawford is telling what? You. Inside
you, you
out.
You gotta watch
speed.
Errol Spence too, though. If you,
I know you've been telling me about him. I haven't watched
him.
Yet.
You can just go on YouTube, look at his past 2 or 3 fights, man. You're going to be like, ooh, okay. Like, oh, I see why. Like, we need that fight to happen in the welterweight division. Like, please. But Terrence Crawford getting ready to fight Amir Khan April 20th. And Errol Spence is going to fight Mickey Garcia soon. So I think once they finish this fight, they both on different promoters. So it's going to be tough for both of them to fight, man, because I think Terrence Crawford's with Bob Arum with Top Rank, and Errol Spence's with another promotional company with Showtime. So I don't know how they're going to kind of make that happen, but it needs to happen. That fight, I've been preaching this fight for the last 2 years. That fight needs to happen. So I hope it does. But yeah, Manny won. I think at this point, Manny Pacquiao should retire.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
he ain't got nothing else to prove.
I mean, he say he still want to fight for another year, possibly two, but Manny,
you
just retire.
You think it's
because
of the money?
Probably.
You think he's trying to go back? He's trying to, bring Floyd out again?
Because of the money.
Of course.
Because of the money. You know, but I think
Floyd is a... I think that thing is a wrap, mainly because how much money he made in that exhibition fight?
Like a quick $9 million.
Yeah.
Probably more than that. I know. Yeah,
there's no reason to fight.
Like, you retire 50-0.
Exactly. There's no reason to put my record in jeopardy.
Right.
I can still make money over here. Right. Doing little exhibition fights. I'm good.
That's what I'm saying. Who would buy that? Like,
I wouldn't buy it.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I wouldn't buy it. I'll watch it, but I ain't buying it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But yeah, I think Manny should retire, and I don't know what's going to be next for AB. I think it's just a wrap for him. I think it's just, I don't think nobody's going to be running to fight AB. Like,
he can join the WWF.
I don't know, but it's a wrap for him. And I think Manny Pacquiao should retire. He's going to go down as a Hall of Fame boxer.
Yep.
You see AB as one of the little hype men for the little wrestlers that come out, the little man.
Probably. Sure. He'll probably get some money for that too. Yeah. WWE will pay him. I can see him
with a good career.
He ain't about to get a 7-figure check in boxing no more.
He might as well become a full time rapper.
Yep.
Or he might try to go to UFC.
Probably. I don't know.
All right, well, there you have it. There's a little boxing update. That's going to do it for us, man. We'll catch you guys next time. Oh, let us know what you think about think we're going to win the game. Y'all got 2 weeks. But yeah, that's it, man. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.